on Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The Ohio State football team continuing their preparations down in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night against Miami. You can hear it live right here on The Fan, beginning with network coverage at 6 p.m., then the kick at 7:30. Get the latest on the game tonight from 6 to 8 here on The Fan with the Cotton Bowl preview show. Former Ohio State offensive coordinator Chip Kelly has been hired at Northwestern as their OC. Kelly was fired by the Las Vegas Raiders earlier this season. The Columbus Blue Jackets have won three straight after beating the Ottawa Senators 4-1 last night on the road. Off day today for the CBJ. They're back on home ice tomorrow when they host the Devils at 7. Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic will miss 4 weeks with a hyperextended left knee. This one brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI at BMIFCU.org/holiday loan.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
It would help if I turned your microphone on.
I mean, that was like a cadence. I mean, you know what that was? That was a quarterback. That was like back in the...
That was a hard count.
Come on, it's 3-2-1 up, delay a game. Gotta snap it. That one's on you, big dog.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. It's exciting to be back. It's a rando Tuesday, not so random. I heard Rhino pitching our show like it was the biggest ever. I don't know if we can live up to that. I mean, yeah, we've got Shefty, we've got Timmy May with our headline, because it is essentially a football Tuesday, and then we've got Austin Ward from down in Dallas, and this seems like kind of a baseline good show.
Listen, we got the People's Champ coming on, too, Tyus Powell. He's coming on. We got a lot going on today, and a lot going on tomorrow. So, you and I will do our normal pregame shows tomorrow right here on The Fan. I will start at 2 o'clock to 4. You'll take it from 4 to 6. From noon to 2 tomorrow, it will be Common Man and Timmy in our time slot. So that little change of scenery, little change of the chairs tomorrow, some change of the furniture here at The Fan. But, yeah, look, we got a nice show lined up for the folks, man. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I am, too. I just don't want to, you know me, it's the... under-promise, over-deliver. I don't want to go into a show. That is the biggest one ever. Like, that sets us on a weird benchmark.
Listen, the people have trust in us. We love the people. Shout out to our listeners. Shout out to everybody in the chat. We're going to have a good day today.
So the floor is yours is at 1 o'clock.
There we go.
Get in the queue. Talk to TLC. Do whatever you want there. 821-9710. Open mic night. We'll put you on at 1 o'clock. My idea is this. You guys have a winner-take-all NFL game this Saturday. Sunday
shirts,
night?
Baby.
Is it Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Print the Steelers shirts, baby.
Okay, there you go.
I did that weeks ago, though. Yeah. I did say weeks ago that I thought they could print the shirts at the time.
Right, well,
and now here we are, winner-take-all.
So your team, the Ravens, is the favorite on the road. We don't know about Lamar Jackson. We'll ask Shefty that in about 27 minutes. The situation for him with the Steelers, you both... In a classic way, and I love this because I'm this way, kind of down on my team. So you guys are both not putting a lot of stock in the ceiling of your team. Now, if Lamar comes back and Derek runs the way he runs, Baltimore is going to be a tough out regardless. The Steelers, they just have a ceiling. Now, if they get a home game against the Chargers, then go to Denver, and that is what if Watt comes back, and now all of a sudden you've got something, then maybe that defense can hold Denver down. But I think they'd have to do it at mile high.
Have enough offense.
You don't. I don't believe they do either. I think right you now. Guys have a much higher ceiling. But the bet. So I was going to say that we could put it out to the floor is yours. So anybody that calls at 1 o'clock, they should be thinking now to include what the consequences should be.
Okay.
Now, I heard you say earlier before the show, why does it have to be such a punitive damage? Like, why do we have such a severe punishment? And I agree with you. It should be, the operative word here is tasteful. We don't want to do anything you're uncomfortable with.
Okay.
I don't think this is old school, even though you are a DJ, I don't think this is old school putting a DJ up on a billboard and say, now Maddie has to broadcast the show or stay up there. This, like back in the day, like I know that TLC came up with this before the show, that one day when he said he's got this star-studded career.
Yeah.
And he
just takes over,
basically
everything.
Owns the station and can tell the suits where to shove it and all that. Mm-hmm. When he gets to that point.
He kind of does that already.
He does.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, shove it suits.
Exactly.
There's a drop.
So back in the day, so he said, oh, well, I want to make a bet with somebody where the loser has to host every show on the station on one day, like 14 hours of coverage. Well, first of all, every show would have to be in on that because they would have to allow him to be in there.
Which is why I said, you do it MLB All-Star break week.
When everybody wants to be off.
Yes.
All right.
So that way you can give him some warning. Hey, if you don't want to participate, just take the day off.
So this reminded me of back in the day when, like, DJs for radio stations would either do a charity thing where they would go sleep on a billboard and never come down for, like, 24 hours or 48 hours or a week or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys, you're probably not old enough to remember, like, that's what used to happen. Like, people, like, radio people used to say, we're going to sleep up on a billboard or something.
I swear there was an NFL fan that was on his roof for a long time here recently. I don't know if that was a Bengals fan or not, but somebody was up there until their team did something, and he was there for a minute.
So the penalty, and I know both of you fairly well. You obviously a lot better because we've known each other a lot longer. The ultimate penalty for Maddie would be that he'd have to eat something very unhealthy and very high calorie, and he'd have to do it in front of us on the show, on the YouTube, and there'd be no way out. Like Cheesecake Factory, chocolate truffle, 1,700 calories, boom, right now. You got 3 hours to eat it, which wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I know that would be severely punishing this man.
Right.
Who the body is a temple, and he's not putting anything in there that is like that.
But I think the math would be off. I don't think that would reach a level of entertainment for the audience as it would for punishment for ICE. So there's got to be something like close where we can meet in the middle.
That's fairly entertaining. You haven't been a part of the show long enough.
Yeah, the people know.
Our listeners for the last they would know that.
That's a grind for me.
This is like,
I'm going to tune in. ICE is eating a donut.
Not a donut.
Donuts.
Donuts.
Maybe like a dozen in 3 hours.
A box of Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, in like, 3 hours.
Now we're talking. Yeah. I might get jealous watching
that's
that.
That's right. And so.
Oh, man.
That's the difference with him. So. And listen, I want him to be comfortable with it. There has to be something to it. This can't be just a, he wears the Steeler gear and he wears the Ravens gear. And like,
there's a thought on that, building off of what you just said, that one of us would have to do that for every single football Friday in here next year. Mm-hmm. Is that he would have to wear Raven stuff and I would have to wear Steeler stuff. That's very uncomfortable.
That involves buying clothes, though.
Well, you could just we'll get you a hoodie and a hat, and you can wear the same thing every Friday.
And I'll go to Goodwill and get him something right now. So it would be different if it was the Browns, because knowing you, I think you'd actually look good in Steeler gear. That's the problem.
Like a yellow,
kind
like
of a mini, mini Mike Tomlin in here. We get you the Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not a punishment because Maddie's into like the fit. Mm-hmm. And I think that black and gold, I think you would actually.
I'd settle in.
You might even convert.
With the way they're treating me right now, I would settle in.
I don't think that's a penalty either.
matches my outfit.
That's right.
Gosh, how's that? Nasally? That's got to be the system making me sound nasally. It didn't even sound like
who was that?
That was me.
Ice.
It matches my outfit.
So the story
were
with that is.
Were you 4 years old when you recorded
that?
A lot
of treble on that. This was when Common Man and Torg were still working together at the old building. And I was wearing that day, to your point about I'll wear stuff if I think it matches and it's, you know, it goes with a nice color scheme, a Pittsburgh Pirates hat.
That's right. Yes.
And
a Reds fan, a diehard Reds fan.
And they were giving me some, you know what? And my response was what you just heard. And I don't know what that is. That just sounds like
a whole song.
I mean, it's just, I do sound like I'm five.
We don't have to listen to the whole song, but let's listen to like 10 seconds of it.
It matches my outfit.
Do you say any other words in it?
It matches my outfit.
I think they just looped it.
Maybe that's the punishment. We put you in a room and you have to listen to that for an hour. It's like a torture.
Okay, there was a Big Brother torture room, speaking of that, this season. And there was just this robotic kind of voice that popped up. And you had to stay in there for 24 hours and they never shut up. Like, so if I had to stay in a room and listen to that for 24 hours, I'd come out of that a new man.
I don't even know if there is a punishment for him. I really don't know. I don't know if there is. He's just kind of open to things.
He's open to anything?
Yeah.
He, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's an idea that we floated and were floated. So I did say that the grand poobah of all punishments, this would have to be like Notre Dame's in a national championship again. Like, this has to be like a significant event to warrant this punishment. The whole like loser has to co-host for 14 straight hours on every single show on the station. We did come up with...
You might like that.
We did... It'd be funny at first. It would get really old really quickly.
I don't know. Maddie told me you're making up for lost time this week with me being out. I don't know if you got to talk last week enough, but the last 2 days, I think you're making up for lost time.
I'm making up for being out in Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That too.
I may have been the first voice on the show today because I shut off your microphones. I just didn't have enough time talking myself. But we did have the idea... of if our teams ever, this would probably be like a playoff bet, if our teams ever face off in the playoffs, loser has to do hourly updates for the entire day.
That's tough.
All right, so nothing will compare to updates when I first started here at the Fan. Nothing.
They were 90 seconds, weren't they?
Well, it's not only that. They started, you had to do them every 20 minutes.
Oh my,
not every
goodness.
Hour. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you had to tape two of them in the middle of the day for ONN, and it was from... I want to guess you taped the 11 a.m. and the noon, mm-hmm. and then I think you started live at 1 and then went to 6 and taped 2 in the middle, and it was every 20 minutes.
There's something...
What could possibly happen within 20 minutes?
Great question. There's something to AR, the punishment of doing every update and being on every show from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's... I would sign up for that. I would sign up for that, but we would have to find a day, like you said, in the summer, because that's probably the only place we could do it. Or we could just, be a third wheel and all this.
Here's the other thing. It really comes down to the confidence that you guys have in your teams this weekend, because the punishment, only one guy's going to serve it. So if you're really confident the Ravens are going to win as the favorite, you should be more than willing to lean a little bit.
I really don't have a lot of confidence.
Where are you?
It's...
It depends who's starting.
For us? At
yes.
quarterback?
Yeah, all right, okay. Plan on Huntley.
Snoop Doggy Dog?
Then yeah.
Snoop Huntley?
If Snoop Huntley is starting, I think the Steelers should be favored. Mm. A very, very slight. It's going to be close no matter what.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, maybe we'll get some info with Schefter before we seal this bet. But the original thought is, if you do call in for the Floor is Yours at 1 o'clock, 821-9710 at 1 o'clock, then you could include your idea.
Yeah, I want to hear them.
And then if we actually choose your idea, then, I don't know, we'll send you
finish that sentence.
A t-shirt from the closet or something. I'll find something. Like, somebody's got to get something.
Yeah,
everybody
for sure.
Getting something.
Yeah, for sure.
What was that?
Something Claus.
Yeah, something Claus. Everybody getting something.
Something Claus.
All right, we got to get going here. And he's coming back, but not here, to the conference. Did we see this one coming? We'll tell you in the next Rothman Nights and the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Would you enjoy?
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them, too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Hello.
Man once shaved Timmy's leg live on the air. Tune in weekdays at 3 to see what else they'll shave.
Wait, what else they'll shave? Who the hell wants to listen to that?
Common Man and Timmy. Smooth as silk.
Okay, the Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Chances of snow showers on and off today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies and cold with temperatures in the 20s, but with the gusty winds, feels like down into the teens. Some chances of snow overnight, lows down into the 20s, and then for New Year's Eve, we will see a chance of snow later in the day, which could impact your evening plans. Breezy winds and highs near freezing. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, we got something, by the way. We got something.
We got something for you, TLC.
You'll be stay tuned. All right, guys and ladies. We're approaching the new year. You get through the holiday, the resolutions start popping up, and we know all about those and how long those last. Get something that feels real. Find out what's going on about your health with my friends at Synergenx and Low T Center, because for a very limited time, they're going to continue the TRT test being free for men, and the ladies are going to get $200 off the hormone test. So you know what's going to pop up. The diet trends, those questionable online treatments that pop up in your timeline, the bait and switch, deceptive pricing that goes on from other places. Go to credibility. Go to the best. Synergenx and Low T Center. They're the leading experts. You'll meet with a real provider. You'll get real meds, real results. And all the guys I've talked to that have gone say it's changed their life. So walk in before 10 a.m. or book the appointment online. Do it at getmyhealthfix.com. So getmyhealthfix.com. And start the process, start the journey of finding out your numbers and finding out if this is something that can really help you. And if you've been suffering from low T and you're not really sure, then this is the exact way to find out. And if you're getting tired, if you don't know why, if you're getting fatigued, you're losing focus, you feel off, be honest with yourself. And Synergenx and Low T Center will be there to help you. You can choose if you want to be treated in the clinic or if you want to receive at-home treatment. Either way, it starts with that simple, quick, and free TRT test at the center. GetMyHealthFix.com. That's GetMyHealthFix.com. So I said to Maddie during the break that for you, the shameless one, we have to take something away that you love.
My microphone?
Okay. That's you probably you got the ding ding. Give yourself a ding on that. I was either going to say, right, it's a couple things. Either one, you know, you can't work out for 2 weeks or, you know, you basically you have to be a normal schmo. You can't be running to the gym. No pumping iron. Mm-hmm. None of that. No push-ups at home. Mm-hmm. No secret workouts at midnight. None of that.
Yeah.
Or, and I just heard the dejection in his voice.
On both of them, by the way.
Or it's what you alluded to. So, Maddie, tell them more.
So, it was shutting down mic night.
Open mic night is done.
For an entire week. Yeah. And that also includes every segment that is yours, overs and unders, ins and outs, tell the truth. We're going to call somebody from the bullpen.
But he still has to prepare the segments.
100%.
And then we bring in.
Simby's back there.
Yeah. We'll call him out of the bullpen.
A stunt reader.
And so you are not on the air at all for an entire week. And we're also going to take away AR. He can't even be in the YouTube chat because I know he likes to interact with people.
Well, he likes
in the
to
YouTube
hang out
chat.
In chats in general.
So I think we may have found your punishment. And by the way, you kind of felt about it out of the gate. You felt a little let down here and that. So that may be it.
I think that is a fun punishment.
Now, like Maddie, you got to be comfortable with it and be willing to take it on. We haven't cemented his yet, but we're still going to leave the floor as yours, and you guys don't have to solidify this till
Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about this? So if the Pittsburgh Steelers lose, I am not allowed to talk on the air next week.
Yes.
At least during this show. If I have to do updates for another show, whatever.
Fine.
But during this show, my voice is not allowed to be heard.
And you still have to play all the drops and everything. So
you're going to allow you to punch the buttons.
Okay.
Okay. So you're good with that.
Ice.
Yes.
If the Ravens lose,
okay. This better be good.
This better be good.
You have to, except for the top of the hour, where it'll be probably Tyler Danberg, you have to do an update that I script for every single segment that we come out. So you'll probably have to do 9 cold copy updates.
And he just has to read an update?
Mm-hmm, that I write for him.
And you know he's going to have some nonsense
for one day. For one day.
And okay. I have to just straight Ron Burgundy this thing. Just read whatever
Ravens
I see.
Ravens on the paper.
Okay.
Sounds, yeah, a little SNL-like, like update desk. I wrote jokes for you that you haven't seen yet or read yet.
I'm not mad at it.
All right. It's on the table.
I'm not mad at it. Okay.
You're going away from the cheesecake.
Going away from the, making him eat cheesecake?
Just making him eat anything that's unhealthy on the air.
That's probably his favorite, honestly.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm going away from that one. Okay. Well, cheesecake is one of my favorites.
All right. By the way, the Jackets are eating cheesecake right now. Like, they are, this is without Zach. I really like the way they played last night, Matty. I really do. And I'll tell you why. First of all, they've now told us that Jet Greaves is their number one. Mm-hmm. They played him back-to-back. Mm-hmm. That was an instant spot to not do that, and they did it. He's been great, all right? I think he's given up 4 goals in 3 games. And so that's number one. And he made some key saves last night. I think there was a shorty save he made. He just made some key saves.
Yeah, he did.
But I felt like there were the only people talking about their bad travel yesterday was us and the announcers. Every time they try to be asked, no, we're getting to the rink. We're playing hockey tonight. Mm-hmm. Yes, it threw us off a little bit, but so I think people thought that their pregame would be all a mess. And you know what? Every time, this is what I love about last night, that they made Ottawa pay for lazy hockey. And that's an important aspect of hockey. A lazy pass, pick it off, make them pay. And they did that last night. And so when you're picking off passes in the offensive zone, when the other team is trying to break out, and they were great last night. I really like, right out of the gate, by the way, turnover, KJ hits a post, you know they're engaged. Mm-hmm. Like, they were right out of the gate. And they were active. They were active on turnovers, and that's what you like to see. Boone Jenner, you're always going to get that smart play. He's going to sense that, make a quick move, bait a guy, and then go right to the blue, and silly put it right there, and now you're up. Greaves was awesome. He's been very good. I don't know how much he can handle, but I think they showed us now that he's their number one. And I just love the way they played in the neutral zone. I love the way they picked off turnovers. Even our boy Sivo in the third had a chance to let one fly and decided to drop that to Matejchuk to make it 3-1. They made the extra pass. Fance, Marchie, and Marchment were fantastic on that rush out of the zone to make it 4-1 to ice the game. So I think you're kind of in a spot now. Their power play is top 20 now. They're 15th. Yeah. Their PK was in such a hole that I'm not going to get on them about being 29th still in PK. It's just going to be a very tough hole to dig out of. It always is. Mm-hmm. And so at 76% right now, but that power play clicking at almost 20% and them on a little run, that's all the good news. The bad news is they're still in a very, very tough conference. Like, if you look at the Jackets right now being 2 games over 500 and they're in last place in the Metro, that tells you something. Because look at Calgary. Calgary is a game below 500 and they're 3 points out. Jackets are 4 points out. But look at all the teams that are between the Jackets and the Panthers. I mean, the Sabres have won 9 in a row, and those fighting Yarmos are coming in here this weekend. And they get Jersey this week on New Year's Eve. That's a pivotal game. So they're catching fire at the right time, but they're going to have to continue this. This is just to kind of get them back in the conversation. But that was an enormous game last night.
No question. Real quick glance at the wild card standings at the moment. Caps in Florida 1-2 right now in the wild card standings, but Washington at 45 points, Jackets at 40. So the gap isn't crazy right now, but you touched on, I think, one of the biggest things right now, and that's Jet. I mean, in the month of December, you're talking .923 save percentage, and that was a question mark coming into the year. Who was going to be the guy, or was it going to be a consistent back and forth between he and Elvis? And if one of those guys did step up and take over this thing, how consistent could they be? Jet came onto the scene last year and really held it down on the back end of the season. And you were just like, okay, that's a small sample size. Can he turn the page and do it again? And this guy, as you just mentioned, last 3 games has been absolutely lights out. And that's just what you need. We all know it. Watching this sport, you have that. Your team is going to be in a good position more times than not. And so I kind of like where the lean is right now. If Coach Dean is leaning into more times than not, maybe, you know, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, whatever that looks like, that he's going to be in net. I always like knowing that a guy or a team can look at a guy and knowing that's our guy. And if that's going to build confidence within that locker room and amongst the coaching staff, then I think you roll with Jet as much as possible. I'm here for it.
There's somebody asking me, what do you think of the Chinnikov trade? I'll tell you what I think. That they wanted a first rounder, didn't get one. They were holding out for that. They got what they could get. I don't love trading him to the Penguins. I don't. I'm not saying that he's a guy that will ultimately come back to haunt you, but I would have tried to avoid that, which tells me this was the best deal on the table and that they've been waiting for a first rounder and they didn't get one and they took what they could. Don took what he could get. And because especially if you're trading him to Pittsburgh, you took probably the best offer.
Yeah.
But that's what I would say about that. But other than the fact that Jet's a 909 save percentage, Jet has a better save percentage right now than Connor Hellebuck.
Love it.
Now, and the last hockey thing I'll say for the day is that somebody explained the mystery to me of how Colorado is 29-2 with one of the worst power plays in the NHL. It's an absolute mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even make sense to me when you look at McKinnon, Natchez, Makar, Lekkonen, and they have the worst power play in the NHL. It's crazy. All right. We'll ask Shefty about two big things. One, Stefan Diggs, an alleged story that he may be in trouble. We'll find out what's true and what's not in 2 minutes.
DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Get in the zone.
Where it's reserved.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
All right, he's the senior NFL insider for ESPN, our friend Adam Schefter. And he's with us now, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Shefty, good to have you, my man. How you feeling?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Okay, before we get to the football stuff, let's get to the off-the-field quickly. What can you tell us about this story that just popped up about the allegation about Stefan Diggs, who I'll just kind of read the details. Yeah. You can fill some stuff in here. He's in a relationship with Cardi B. They just had a child in November. This doesn't appear to be anything with her, but you can tell me this is about he's been charged with felony strangulation or suffocation and a misdemeanor assault charge and a battery stemming from an altercation on December 2nd. Is this an allegation from a person that he's involved with or somebody that's has nothing to do with a relationship?
I don't know. I really don't know. It just came down here a short time ago. I know that I reached out. His agent, believes that they'll have something to say about this. And I don't know what's real and what's not, other than what's out there. I know it's on the docket today in a courthouse in Boston. I know the Patriots have said that they're aware of the accusations. And he categorically denies them, which is what I was told, basically. You know, we support Stefan. We will continue to gather information. We'll cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities and NFL as necessary, out of respect for all parties involved. Given this is an ongoing legal matter, we'll have no further comment. So he's categorically denied that it's true.
Okay, so right now, though, the Patriots are, like you said, standing by him. So there's no sense that they may say, hey, you can sit out this week while things are pending.
No, I have, this all just happened. Your answers that I think is on a fluid situation on a story in which Stefan Diggs quote unquote categorically denies the allegations against him.
Okay. And this game isn't important to New England anyway. correct? Or no?
This game, minimal bearing, I think. I mean, listen, if Denver wins...
Oh, number one seed, yeah, could have that.
But Denver's going up against Trey Lance. The Chargers are resting Justin Herbert, so there you go.
Okay.
Shetty, obviously a big one in the AFC North this weekend with Baltimore going in to Pittsburgh. I want to kind of start on the Pittsburgh side of this. What's the latest on T.J. Watt and his availability for this one?
Well, Mike Tomlin said today that he's more optimistic than he's been. So that's interesting. They still don't know whether he's going to play, and they'll have to see how he fares during the week. And we're talking about a partially collapsed lung. This isn't a shoulder, knee, ankle, one of those things. But we'll see how it goes. Again, the fact that Tomlin was a little bit optimistic to me provides some hope, that he potentially could play on Sunday night.
Winner take all game for the Ravens and the Steelers. You would think, I mean, the average fan would think that if Lamar Jackson needs to limp out there, he's going to do it. I know he's got a back issue that they've been managing. Yeah. What are you sensing about the urgency here about doing whatever it takes to get out there?
Well, I think Lamar and T.J. Watt are in a similar category. They're both going to do what they can to be out there. There's no doubt about that. But whether either one can make it back, I think, is very much up in the air. I still am skeptical on both until I see them, or at least see that they've gone through a full week of practice. Lamar has had a full week of practice in 8 weeks. So that would be a first if he practiced all week. And if he were to practice at that time, then he obviously would be prepping to play. But that hasn't been what's happened here the last 2 months. And we'll see how that goes.
So things seem to get a little spicy out there in Las Vegas between Max Crosby and, I guess, the front office when they told him that he wasn't going to play. And, Shefty, did he go out on social media and kind of post a video of him playing basketball when there was a report that he may need knee surgery? What's going on right now with Max Crosby and the Raiders?
Yeah, well, that was my report,
yeah.
And he does need knee surgery. And you know, look. You know, people are up in arms that the Raiders are tanking, that they're not trying to win. But the fact of the matter is, a year ago or a week ago today, they sent Max Crosby to the doctors, and the test results came back that his knee condition had worsened, that he needs surgery. So why would you play that guy in that game? Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Now, yes, do the coaches and players want to win? Absolutely. And they're going to go out there and try to win. But, are there people in the Raiders ownership group, maybe, or front office that would rather they don't? Sure. But that's just not the way the coaches and players are wired, and not the way they perform on Sundays. So I think all these things can be true. I think that Max could be mad that they're shutting him down. They're shutting him down for a legitimate reason. And there are mixed feelings with mixed people in the Raiders organization about whether they should win or lose, depending on your job within that organization.
How do you think the Packers are going to handle Malik Willis going forward? There's thoughts that, I mean, he looked so good until he got injured in that game. Yeah. Are there any thoughts of kind of keeping him around, or will he have too many suitors for the Packers to want to continue to try to be competitive and keep him?
Well, I'm sure they'd love to keep him around. And I almost view it a little bit like Sam Darnold last year. Now, Sam Darnold had a lot larger body of work in Minnesota. But, you know, you're talking about something here where Malik Willis, when he's played, has been effective and has shown that he could be a starter in this league. So I'm sure somebody may give him a chance, you know, this offseason.
I'd love the Vikes to steal him from the Packers.
That's possible. I mean, that would be an option, and we'll see how that works out. But he's going to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be able to go wherever he's paid the most opportunity, or paid the most money with the best opportunity, whatever he feels that is.
Yeah. So I know Marcus Freeman came out yesterday and kind of put the NFL stuff to bed and kind of labeling it, hey, 2026, let's run it back up here in South Bend. But On your side of things in NFL circles, what's your understanding of how interested maybe a team or teams were in trying to steal him away from Notre Dame right now?
I think he was high on the list of a lot of teams. I think he would have been a top candidate in this coaching cycle. But obviously, he's made his intentions clear that he intends to stay at Notre Dame. That's his plan. So if that's the case, it's a moot point anyway. But, yeah, he's planning to be there. And I can tell you that, you know, that wouldn't stop teams from going to make a real run if they really wanted him. But it certainly seems like he's inclined to stay there.
Which team, Shefty, were showing interest?
Well, let's just say this. The Giants and Titans are the only two that have openings. Mm-hmm. I'm sure both would have been interested in talking to him. And I'm sure there were other teams that are thinking about mulling a coaching change that, if they decide to do that, Marcus Freeman would be on their list.
Have we seen the last of Phillip Rivers?
In the NFL, yes. But he'll be back on the sideline in Fairhope coaching high school again. So you haven't seen the last of him there.
Yeah. But my point is, he's not starting this week.
No. Riley Leonard is extra. They've been eliminated. Phillip came in to try to save them. It didn't work. I mean, it worked in some ways, but it didn't work in the ultimate goal. And he's going to go back to being on the bench and going back to coaching high school football in Alabama and being eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2031.
Do you believe that the Vikes are going to have a difficult time retaining Flores? You think he'll be back in the head coaching cycle?
Well, I'll say this. I think they'll have a tough time retaining him for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think he's going to get head coaching interviews, and we'll see how that goes. But his contract's also up, and so anybody can go bid on him. He's not under contract in Minnesota after the season.
Right.
So if you're a team that has a need at defense coordinator, and by the way, inevitably there'll be, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 teams that change head coaches, whatever the number comes in over the next week. If I had to handicap it, I would put the number at about 6 or 7. We've got 2 already. But every one of those teams is probably going to need a defensive coordinator, right? So if that's the case, I would think he'd be high on their list too. So yeah. he's gonna have a variety of options.
Seems to be. Yep, no doubt about it. All right, my man, great job. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you real soon when it starts heating up for the playoffs.
All right, guys, have a great week. Happy New Year.
You too. Thanks, Shefty. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll come back with Party Like a Roth Star. Up next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan. T-Bone and Tybus.
I mean, we can just stay with Alabama. Like, we don't have, I can pretend like I'm an Alabama
stink.
Fan.
They do. And we need to stop acting like they some great team. They're not good.
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Roth star.
All righty. Party hard.
Top of the hour.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
821-9710.
So get on in here. 614-821-9710.
And come up with the loser has to do this in Maddie and TLC's Ravens Steelers winner take all game.
I
do feel like if I was just playing straight objective here,
okay,
the fact that he's not getting points and you are favored by what, 3 or 3.5, technically speaking, your consequence should be a little tougher than his if he's not taking the points. But you guys, this is your deal, and it is Steelers Ravens and straight up winner take all, so I get it. Maddie, I'm going to start with a guy that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of. Freshly turned 24-year-old. He was a former Wisconsin Badger, transferred to Florida. He was picked by the Titans at 103 overall in the 4th round of this past year's draft. And they named him their starting punt returner and kick returner at the start of the season. And now he's catching passes. Chim Dike broke the record for most all-purpose yards by a rookie in NFL history this weekend. And I don't know if anybody even heard about it. The reason it's so huge is the guy that owned the record did it back in 1988. Tim Brown.
Oh, I was about to guess Tim Brown.
And a lot of young people on the Twitter machine this weekend.
Twitter.
We're writing that he broke the record of former Hall of Famer Jim Brown.
Oh, no.
No, he didn't. It was Tim Brown.
Oh,
I saw that
man.
A number of places because it goes back so far that when people heard Brown, they assumed it was Jim Brown. 2334. All-purpose yards this year. So that breaks Brown's record by 15 or so yards, maybe a little more, that he set in 1988. Now, one guy did get close, got over 2,300 in 2009. And I'm wondering maybe if you want to take that on for size. TLC.
One more time now.
The guy got more than 2,300 yards.
All-purpose?
Was a rookie in 2009.
This would be... If I'm not mistaken, Urban Meyer's favorite player?
No.
Percy?
Not no. Percy Harvin?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's a good guess.
Because he was a rookie in 09. Okay, so this would be...
We'd have to check his yards, but I think it's a receiver.
What school did he play at in college?
This is going to give it away. All right, so 09, this is Stafford.
He played at Texas Tech.
Oh, Crabtree? Wait.
That wasn't Crabtree, right? No.
No. No, hold on, wait.
All purpose from Texas
Could Tech. It be... Oh, Wes Welker?
No.
Is there any chance you got the school wrong? Because I almost shouted Darren McFadden, although he wasn't good.
No, I don't think I got the school wrong. I'll just tell you. Why don't you just tell me the player that it is?
Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
He played at Tech, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 2302 in 09. My dad's favorite player was fourth at 2272 back in the middle 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one Gale Sayers.
Heard of him.
So, Chimiri Dike, 2334, most all-purpose yards by a rookie in NFL history, doing it for the Tennessee Titans.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool. I'm starting with a rookie as well in the NFL, because I don't know if there's a much better feeling as an NFL fan when you see your franchise potentially get it right at the most important position. And that may be what's happening down there in New Orleans. Because Tyler Shuck right now, this dude's on a heater.
Crazy.
Spinning the pill at a high clip. You mentioned the Tennessee Titans. They took out the Tennessee Titans. Final score of that one, 34-26. Tyler Shuck, 22-27, 333 yards, and 81.5% completion percentage. Two touchdowns in the game, not a single pick. He is now in elite company, folks, because after that performance, Tyler Shuck has gone back-to-back games with 300-plus yards and zero interceptions. He now joins Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott as the only quarterback since 1970 to do that. Chris Olave's come to life a little bit because of Tyler Shuck. The big question mark was, well, yes, he's old, but is he going to be healthy and available?
And he was injured, right?
And he was injured, yeah. Right? And they're showing, man, you keep him upright. He can get it done. So some good stuff happening right now for Tyler Shuck last couple weeks. He's down there in New Orleans partying like a rock star.
It's a great one because he had every trait outside of extending plays and stuff like that. But you took a gamble on a guy that missed a lot of time in 21, 22, 23, like missed a ton of time. But you're banking on, and you don't usually get healthy in the NFL. Staying healthy is difficult, but you don't get healthier. And so they did it. All right, I'm going to go with one of the most underrated players in the NFL when it comes to probably media coverage. Not really in fantasy, but really just in general, mostly because he's on an underperforming team. Out of Colorado, let me do another trivia for TLC. Out of Colorado State, second rounder in 22.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trey McBride.
That's right. So had a big, big day or big year last year of 111 catches. How's he going to beat that? Well, how about make NFL history? I'm on a little trend here. So he set the all-time record for catches by a tight end in a single season. Now, the counter to this would be, well, they're always in game script mode. They're always in pass script mode. He's going to catch a ton of passes.
Right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I do understand that. But he had eight or more catches 7 times this year, and he hit double-digit 3 times, which you know well because you had him in fantasy. And but the fact that he broke the record by 1 set by Zach Ertz, so 117 catches this year, the most by a tight end, would you care to try to, as long as we're on this theme, so Zach Ertz had 116 and Trey McBride got 117 this year. The next closest would be 114, then 112, then 110. Two guys at 110. Can you name any of those guys?
I mean, the gut reaction would be Tony Gonzalez somewhere.
No.
Antonio Gates anywhere?
No.
Are these obscure names?
No, not really.
Shannon Sharp?
Nope.
Gronk?
Nope.
Mike Dick had a really good rookie year.
Mark Andrews?
Nope.
Jason Witten? 1,000%.
He's one of them at 110. Okay. He's tied at 110.
So we've still got two.
So can tight you name, can you name just, one, two, three? Can you name four more?
Tight ends in NFL history who just got peppered with passes. Oh, God. Zach Miller from the Raiders.
Nope.
I don't know.
The free, I'll give you the
Darren
free
Waller?
One. Nope. The free one is Kelsey.
Oh, duh.
So at 110. He's tied with Witten at 110.
Jimmy Graham?
So the other three. No, good guess, though.
Thank you.
Here are the three. Evan Engram, a buck 14.
Man.
Brock Bowers, who caught his very first pass in the NFL from me. And Trey McBride again at 111.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, he's a monster, man. He's a monster. Last candidate for me. Watching the Jackets last night, on the other screen, I had the Cavs. It's been a rough little year for the Cavs. They were going into San Antonio last night. And you know when you go into San Antonio, you gotta deal with the alien. Victor Wembanyama, he's back to his full allotment of minutes. And here he is, or here they are. Cavs coming out of San Antonio with the win. But Jared Allen, shout out to Jared Allen. Because I was worried about Evan Mobley and Jared Allen dealing with Wimby. Jared Allen, 27 points, 10 rebounds, a couple steals in the game. That's a really, really good win against a very talented team for the Cavs last night on the road. They were partying like a rock star.
All right, the floor is yours. Coming up top of the hour, 821-9710. We'll give you the mic. And also, hopefully, you'll come up with a consequence for the loser with TLC and Maddie for Steelers-Ravens. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
The World Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
Hey, it's Berm here. 2 weeks into a...
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Podcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker, a little more than 30 hours away from Ohio State taking on Miami in the Cotton Bowl. Media days were yesterday down in Dallas, and Ryan Day talked about the talent that the Hurricanes have.
Very similar. Yeah. Yeah. Very, 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 very talented group. NFL players all over the field. And so they certainly have our guys' attention. They know what they're up against. And so it's been a spirited practice.
Get the latest on the game tonight from 6 to 8 here on The Fan with the Cotton Bowl Preview Show. Quarterback Julian Sain has been named the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award winner. The award is given to the most outstanding freshman in college football. The Indianapolis Colts are benching Phillip Rivers for their finale against the Houston Texans in favor of rookie Riley Leonard. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI at bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
The best teams don't always win titles.
Sounds like AR and Maddie bragging about their fantasy teams.
Hey, that's cheating.
This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, the floor is yours, 821-9710. We'll put you on in a moment here. Boy, they really need to get rid of pregame interviews with the coaches in football. It's not technically the reporter's fault. It's that, why would you expect a coach or a player to give you anything? I think on Christmas Day, I don't know if it was AJ Ross or somebody was interviewing Goff before the game and said something like, how are you going to open up the game or what's the strategy or something, which is a good question. It's the only one you can really ask. And he looks right at her and goes, I don't know. We'll see.
Thanks, coach. Appreciate you. Yeah.
And then whoever was interviewing Mario Cristobal before the Miami A&M game, you talked about being in a moment like this, and what's going through your mind right now? We're going to go play Miami football. Okay, thanks. Good luck. I don't know what we expect out of these anymore. They do them as an obligatory thing.
Yeah. I don't expect much from these guys. I bet you we could play a game in the summer if we went back and took a couple minutes from Coach Day's press conferences and TLC asked us who was he talking about, which team was he talking about. I bet you we couldn't figure it out because a lot of this, you could just refresh the same answers over and over again and essentially pay the same respect to every team as a coach and just be about your business.
I always look at this. The fun game to play is when you see a headline and then you play the alternative of what the alternative comment would be. Like I saw one today, Brian Hartline wants to go out the right way with Ohio State as opposed to the wrong way. there's no alternative. If you're not getting questions like this,
heart monitors that look like sports bras that all your players wear.
If you're not getting stuff like that, it's just not worth it.
That's why I'm so appreciative of the coaches that really aren't afraid to say much or players that aren't afraid to say much because we don't get that all the time. 90%
First off, great teams cover. That's the first thing. Great teams cover.
90% of the time we're getting some BS. That's usually what we get.
All right, no BS here. The floor is yours. Our wonderful listeners get a chance to weigh in on everything and hopefully give you guys. Oh, by the way, I did get an email. This is way too permanent for a regular season finale. Loser should get a tat of the other team's logo.
Oh, like the logo?
And hell, I'm like,
this is a regular season game.
That's crazy.
This is not not an AFC championship game. And even if it was, that's quite permanent.
It may have to be that. I don't even know if that's heavy enough.
My boy Scott came up with that one, but I thought,
shout out to you, Scott,
but
I can't
play.
Can't do it.
No, I don't think
either of us want to get our own team's tag.
That's right. That's a good point.
Not at all.
All right, who's batting leadoff?
We're going down to Central Florida to talk to Eric.
Oh, Biggie.
How's the
Central
weather?
Florida, my man. The floor is yours.
Hey, gentlemen. So, in Central Florida at my cigar lounge, we got
hold on.
A plethora.
Give me 2 seconds.
You're like in your own humidor? Wait, are you in your own? Do you have a humidor?
Not at my house. I'm talking about the lounge I go to.
Okay. All right.
Belongs to.
So any case, Central Florida, obviously we got a bunch of SEC fans, we got ACC fans, and we got Big Ten guys here. But I can tell you this, especially in the last 2 weeks, the cockiest fans are the Miami Hurricane fans. They always have been. We broke them 23 years ago. We're going to break them down again. And I hope Ryan Day opens up the offense and just pounds these guys, because we know the defense can take care of it.
Well, Lee, listen, this year as opposed to 0-2-0-3 is the fact that now you're the big favorite and you were the massive underdog going in against that unbelievable Miami team. In fact, if you're a big Buckeye fan, if you own, when Sports Illustrated put out that hardback book or whatever they do, that commemorative book after that season, the championship season, there's a page in there where if you go to Terry Porter throwing that flag, you'll see a young Anthony Rothman peeking his head out looking at Terry Porter in the old SI hardback.
That's really good.
All right, Eric. Good job, man.
To this point, it's getting real spicy on social media between Hurricanes fans and Buckeyes fans.
Is it all about Jeremiah not going there?
It's some of that. It feels like Miami fans, from what I've seen, they don't feel like they're being respected enough because you mentioned the line from Vegas and all of that. So, yeah.
OSU fans are playing victim, too, big time.
It's a lot of smoke between both parties right now, and I'm here for it.
Well,
I love it.
Let's look at it from their point of view real fast. People thought they shouldn't have been in. And
they shouldn't have.
And that you guys should have gone in over them.
Yep.
And then they go ahead and go into maybe the toughest atmosphere for a playoff game on the road.
Yeah,
A&M.
Kyle Field's tough.
And win a rock fight.
And a windstorm.
And they were like 100-1 going into the playoff. Mm-hmm. And so now they're here playing Ohio State, and they're a double-digit underdog. So
what did Ian say about the long snappers?
You're an idiot.
Who's next?
You missed a whole point.
Who's next?
Who's next?
Danny in Delaware.
Uh-oh, here he is.
Danny in Delaware, your dime, your dance floor.
What up, Danny?
What up? Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo-hoo. You know what? The Browns are still out here changing the dynamic of the division, boys. Steelers came in thinking they were going to coast to the playoffs, but Myles Garrett was living rent-free in their head the entire game. And Maddie, your Ravens, I mean, they're kind of like the Herp. They just keep coming back with an occasional flare-up.
That's right.
I hope they both choke. As far as your bet, the SNL skit, great idea, but you can't be afraid to come a little unhinged, and you can't be afraid of a couple fines from the FCC. Mm-hmm. Or, even worse, the loser has to wear Browns gear all week.
That is nice.
Go Buckeyes, go Browns. Let's go!
That's tough.
There he is.
So your point. To your point about the colors are, me and brown and orange.
I think that would be a pretty good penalty. That's why I went to the Browns for him, not just the Steelers. I think he'd like the Steelers gear. Just like if we put him in Raiders gear. I just think he'd look really good at
fans. This is
I feel like if he loses, something on the table could be Browns gear for the season next year.
I win a tie,
lot of
right?
orange and fudge.
Because if it's a tie, we go to the playoffs.
There's
so
not going to be a tie.
Okay.
I think you're right, though. I think you're right. Who's next?
Let's go to John, who is in Lewis Center.
All right, Johnny, the floor is yours.
Oh, hello.
Thank you. It's strictly about the bet. Sorry.
Okay, good.
So the best bets we ever did in college were T-shirt bets. Not like the silly, like you said, oh, you got to wear the other team, you got to wear a Browns jersey. No, it's the time and the place. My buddy hated Tom Brady in college. He kept making bets and losing them. Then I made him wear a blue Tom Brady jersey to the Odin Conley whiteout game against Michigan State. And he was the only dude wearing blue in the entire student section. He made the poster next year for the next year's basketball, like promo stuff. There's a blue dot in the lower left corner. So you as a young dude, you go out. Other person picks your Friday night attire. You're going on the town. I think you're both single. I don't know. Maybe it's mesh. Maybe it has some sequins on it. I'm not sure. There's lots of thrift stores around town. You pick the other person's shirt. Go hit the town one weekend.
Not mad at it.
Hmm.
I'm not mad at that.
Something low rise.
Interesting about the time and place. What if, like,
mesh if possible?
Could you imagine? Oh my gosh. You want to talk about punishment. Yeah. How uncomfortable you would feel. Imagine if, like, we had Ryan Day on the show and Ice was wearing a Michigan jersey sitting right next to him.
See, but he'd know it was a put on. What the beautiful thing about
Ice would still be uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, that's true. But the beautiful
and the
thing
audience
about
would definitely play into
it. The beautiful thing about that phone call is that picking the other guy's outfit to go out on a weekend, and then the guy wearing it when someone clearly would say, "Did you lose a bet?" can't say yes.
Well,
not
actually,
allowed to say yes. No, I thought this looked good.
In this day and age, that's not something that you can like question someone to their face. Like
I'm just
fishnet
saying.
Stuff like that. You can't be like, hey, bro, you lost the bet. No, I just like to dress this way. What, you got a problem with that, huh?
It could get dicey.
Okay.
I'm canceling you.
All right, it's on the table.
It's on the table. I like it.
It's on the table. The fashion faux pas.
You want one more?
Yeah, sure.
Vaughn in Columbus.
Big Vaughn, floor is yours.
Hey, guys, how we doing? I just had to come back and roll back some stuff I said earlier. And one of the first floor is yours. I said Baker was going to win the MVP. As I am a Bucks fan, what a collapse by a team. I need us to fire Todd Bowles. I know we don't talk about it a lot because it's Columbus radio. We let Liam Cohen go lead the Jags to an 11-win season. And now we can't run offense for anything. Ibuka was supposed to be offensive rookie of the year. He can't get a catch. It's just so saddening. I need the Buckeyes to win. I need the Georgia Bulldogs to win. And I need to see a Fiesta Bowl between the two. I'm going to keep saying it. I hope that we get saying out of the pocket, away from those amazing D ends. We run screens, play action. And I hope we have a great, you know, New Year's Eve tomorrow and not like 2022.
Wait, you're a Georgia fan, so you're saying we about Ohio State?
Fan.
I heard the word
born and raised in Columbus. Yes, I'm born and raised in Columbus. I only put on my Georgia hat when you guys go Big Ten and talk stuff about my team. Then I have to get on the phone and be a full Georgia fan, but I always love Ohio State. Only when you guys want to be Big Ten guys do I have to go stick up for my Georgia football.
What happens when Ohio State's playing Georgia for the right to go to the championship?
Well, since I've seen Georgia blow out TCU and I've seen Georgia go back-to-back, I would honestly rather have Ohio State go back-to-back.
Wow, so this is like a true 50-50 split.
Yeah, it's really bad, man. I don't know.
Real quick, you would want Bowles fired even if you guys win the division this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. He's not throwing those picks.
I think he's better as a defensive coordinator. After Bruce Arians, we just let him take over the whole team. We could disguise it with great offensive coordinators, but this last hire as an OC was just so bad. Like, and the defense has been so bad. That's your calling card. Like, that's a fireable offense, in my opinion.
All right, Vaughn, Happy New Year, my man. Thanks for calling. Well done. All right, we're going to come back with Heartbreak City, as always. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Ma, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
I'm back.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst and cancer champion Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. Join our team to help fund game-changing research that saves lives. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over the odds. V is for victory over health disparities. Victory over setbacks. Victory over the unknown. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate to the V Foundation to join our team and help save lives.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now to the V Foundation at V.org.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Chances of snow showers on and off today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies and cold with temperatures in the 20s, but with the gusty winds, feels like down into the teens. Some chances of snow overnight, lows down into the 20s, and then for New Year's Eve, we will see a chance of snow later in the day, which could impact your evening plans. Breezy winds and highs near freezing. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Let's scratch that fantasy football itch. It's Rothman and Ice's Fool's Paradise.
Sponsored by Buckeye Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
All right, while it wasn't over before kickoff last night, it certainly felt over. for me.
Let me hop in on this because I feel horrible for you.
Well,
because I haven't said a word to you about this today. I didn't text you about this today because I know it's been a running theme in your mind that your teams have always been good enough.
Right.
Felt good about your drafts. Hey, you've done a great job the last few years identifying rookie tight ends with Bowers and Warren. And I think there's another
LaPorta.
Guy. And LaPorta. And here we are. And taking you to Skoll makes it to the championship.
Regular season champ.
Regular season champ, and you get to the final. And I want to check on you, man. How are you doing right now? Before we get into what happened and all of that.
What had happened?
How you feeling, man? Be honest. We're here for you.
It's a downer. It's a downer. I think it helped that I knew I was done before last night. I didn't like... I made an unbelievable decision that didn't work out one way or the other. And I'm surprised you didn't say something to me about benching Josh Allen and going with Trevor Lawrence this weekend. It didn't. They both scored the same amount of points.
Yeah.
I saw the weather in Buffalo, and I know the lack of weapons they have. You know how hard it was for me to bench him in a fantasy championship. Like that took a lot of guts.
It was against the right defense.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do it against Philly.
I wasn't
the
mad weather. At that.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence has been playing some good ball.
And he's on a heater.
Yeah,
and he was inside against Indy.
Yeah.
And I had just seen what San Fran tore them to ribbons with Purdy.
I saw the vision there.
So that was it. Nothing really. The good news about losing in the championship the way I did was that, A, I lost to Tyler in our, so congrats to him. But I lost to the guy picking first in our draft, which is an advantage. And he picked Bijan Robinson with his first pick. And he had a career night last night.
22 carries, a .195 and one. And then through the air, he had 5 for 34 and another touchdown.
That is a saber-like sword through the heart. Like that, it was not going to happen for me. Matchups are key. We know that about fantasy. If you would have awarded the winner of this year on points in a season, no one's even close to me. Mm-hmm. That's why it hurts so much. And then the other part is that my team laid the biggest egg of the year in the biggest week. Like, that's bad.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. The one question I have for you.
Just say it. It wouldn't make a difference, but go ahead.
Why the Taysom Hill play?
So, all I had was Warren.
Yeah.
He was attached to Rivers. He hasn't scored in forever. And I knew I was up against it as a big underdog going into the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I had to take a boom or bust play. Taysom had just done what he did the week before, throwing a pass, rushing, receiving, like everything.
Okay.
A lot of people said that it may have been to get him to the 1K in the Superdome, last game in New Orleans. I was looking at it as that he could still be New Orleans' lead back if they wanted to play it again, and I was going for the boom versus the bust.
That was a hard pick because you love him.
You like
to have him in fantasy. That's been your guy the last few years.
But it wasn't. I wouldn't have done it. Actually, I think your better question is this, and I like that question because it's a valid one, and he did bust. It wouldn't have mattered. That's the good news. Tyler Warren didn't do a whole lot. He had like 6 points.
Yeah.
I did have Colston Loveland that I could have played. I don't think that he had a big game against San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that surprised me was that I traded for Jefferson a month ago and never played him. It didn't hurt me. And then on the last week, I said, it's Christmas Day. He's at home. He hasn't scored in forever. Marvin Harrison is back for Arizona. I was worried about Michael Wilson. He wound up scoring again. It wouldn't have mattered, which is key.
I couldn't believe you. I was sitting there.
That one was bad.
Out with the homies watching the game. And I think at like 12:58.
I put him in.
I think you dropped Michael Wilson. And then it was like early on in the game, he scored that touchdown where the Bengals couldn't tackle me and you.
Knock him out of bounds.
Running up the sideline. But listen, man.
The good news is, whatever Robinson did last night, none of these decisions would have mattered.
No, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Every one of my running backs did not score this weekend. I don't believe.
Yeah.
James Cook didn't score. Devon Achane didn't score. Jahmyr Gibbs laid an egg on Christmas Day. Once Gibbs did what he did against my Vikes, my team taking out my number one fantasy threat was
up against it.
That was a trouble. But
so look,
I was second. You were third.
And by the way,
we pushed it to the limit.
CB's all BS about, hey, I don't care about. He was still making
moves.
Move
in
after
a consolation
move
match.
All weekend long. All
garbage.
I'm getting is wrist up, picked up this guy, wrist up, drop that guy. I can't wait for him to get back to Dallas because he was doing it as the kids. He was capping.
Hey, yeah, that's the I don't care thing that he's like, first of all, everybody in fantasy, if you're competitive enough and you love to do this like he does, is into it. So.
Is this going to push you over the edge to be done? This heartbreak, is this the one?
This was the team.
Okay.
This was the team. I looked at you, and I rarely say this. I looked at you and I did not say that. I said, I believe this is the best core I've ever had.
You had a squad,
Allen, Gibbs, Achan, Cook.
Squad.
You cannot, like, that in fantasy is a high floor week to week. Team.
Yeah, no, you did well as a GM. You did
and
well.
Then,
so, yeah, man,
painful.
Listen, I didn't know, you know, if this was going to be the one. I wouldn't be mad at you if you were done after
this. If I was in this bet with you guys, somehow, my punishment.
And you are.
I can't tell you whether my punishment would be that I have to choose only one fantasy season to play, baseball, hockey, or football.
Mm.
Like, that I have to get rid of two. That would be my penalty.
If the Steelers and Ravens tie,
okay,
Anthony Rothman is only allowed to play one fantasy sport next year. Yeah.
And I think I would lean baseball because of the how many months you get out of it. Yeah, I mean, hockey's long too, but...
Yeah, baseball's every single day. Just every
That would be a punishment because I... Just sitting two of the three out.
You can help me out.
He said okay.
I would sit football out. I think this finally cut me good. Like, this one finally did it. This was the one that...
Yeah, I know.
This was the team.
I know.
You can't tell me that I can't come up with something better than that this weekend.
It just goes to show that in fantasy, you can study all you want, study the trends all you want. You just never know,
matchups.
Man. An injury that quick, a defense showing up like your team and shutting down Gibbs on any given Sunday. It's just crazy, man. That's the wild ride it takes us on. So, yeah, I feel for you, brother. I feel for you, brother. But, hey,
and
man,
it's
hang
not
up that silver
even
medal.
The money.
It's just...
Like, I would have...
Oh, you
gladly
have enough of that,
sacrificed.
Wow,
no, I'm just saying.
That?
No, I'm playing for pride.
Whoa.
You set yourself up, AR.
You said, I don't need the money.
Did. I didn't say did I say I didn't need it?
You said it's not for the money.
Yeah, I didn't say I didn't
it's
need it. I just
money.
Said it was not about the money.
It was like when
I'm putting words in your mouth.
It was like, AR, when I asked Adam King when you were out, like, hey, what do you need for Christmas? He was like, I don't need anything. Okay. All right, Adam. All right, Adam. And by the way, a little Adam King update, right? TLC, you told me last, you know.
Yeah.
What happened last night?
So at 7:30, we had a Cotton Bowl special on the Fan and 10TV YouTube channels. Nicole Sheeran and Tyvis Powell were here. And then we had Dom Tabari, Tracy Townsend, and Adam King down in Dallas checking in. Except Adam didn't check in because he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
The voice was just all over the place. Yeah. They said, we can't air this.
Well, I don't even know if that's a healthy scratch. Because
maybe an unhealthy
scratch. You can't play if you have to talk.
An
unhealthy scratch. Did they send him home or is he still there?
As far as I know, he's still there.
Okay.
He's the one that told us, I went to Dallas thinking it'd be warm and I didn't bring a jacket.
Now he needs a lozenge.
Right. Oh, man.
By the way, you mentioned that Lions Vikings game.
Yeah.
Party like a rock star, Harrison Smith.
It's Notre Dame.
INT in a sack.
He's
got some life left in him.
Oh, Van Ginkle. Like, that defense was real.
Glazing this guy. I get it, though.
Yeah, he has a little life left. 22? Is that his number?
His number.
Yeah.
His age is way above that.
All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes with our guy, Tyvis Powell, and get his feeling on this matchup. Ohio State and Miami, and we're doing it again. 2 minutes, Rothman.
Home appraisal, after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Breaking Down the Browns with Tyvis Powell.
All right, he is the one and only baller from Bedford. He's our friend Tyvis Powell. He's getting ready to ring in the new year in style somewhere. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm doing well. I just did my warm-up set of 135 on the bench press. You know, I'm still trying to impress the wife. You know, this dad bod thing is real. Nobody ever told me how real this dad bod thing is and how hard it is to get rid of.
I thought some of the women out there are attracted to the dad bod.
I mean, I'm not looking for them women. My wife.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, shouldn't she love you no matter what?
Yeah, she would tell you that. She would tell you, like, I want you a little husky and all that. But it's about me. You know, you got to be comfortable in your own skin, okay? It's not always about what the lieutenant wants. You know, it's all sometimes you got to do what's right for you.
That's dangerous. That's a dangerous line you just dropped right there. That's a dangerous line, what you just said right there.
Where's your confidence in this game tomorrow? Yeah, like all-time high. Is there any pause at all? Like, where are you with it?
I feel like naturally, you know, there's a little bit of pause. I think everybody's on the same page with the Buckeyes should go out there and they should win, given the fact that when we seen Miami, nothing jumped off the page to really scare you. However, you know, you got to admit the fact that they got a good offensive tackle. They got two great edge rushers. And they're pretty good in the, allegedly they're the best in the world in the trenches all of a sudden. You know, this team that was on the outside looking in is just the greatest in the trenches all of a sudden. So if you're going to take that into consideration, I give them a what? Out of 10, you say? I say Ohio State got a 9.5 chance winning this game.
It is interesting, kind of the narratives from last year's playoff game against Tennessee, kind of mirroring this one as well, right? Ohio State has some offensive line question marks going into the playoff because of injury. Same thing this year, because of injury and just rotating now guys in, especially at right guard. And then last year it was James Pearson, that D-line, and this year's Mesidorn Bain. And they're talented, as you know. So let's stay there. Your confidence, though, in the offensive line and Coach Day's ability to get that unit in check and in order before tomorrow, how are you feeling about Van Sickle and the crew up there?
I just think that being in that locker room and having to hear about how all of a sudden you're not that good anymore and their team is this and that team is that and maybe y'all are frauds and like having to hear that for 20 something days, it really gets to you. And it's like I can't wait to get out here and show the world like who we really are. You know, Kendrick Lamar said, sometimes you got to pop out and show people. Mm. I think that's where the Buckeyes are. You got to show the world why you were the number one team in the world or in the country for all of those weeks. Like the worst, you lost to the number one team and played terribly on offense. You lost by 3 points. And everybody got all this respect for Indiana, yet they only beat us by 3 points on our worst day. That right there tells me, like, yeah, like they should go out there and dominate and do what they do. I think that you give Matt Patricia 20-something days to dissect an offense. You give Ryan Day 20-something days to dissect the defense. These are two guys that are geniuses when it comes to play calling and design. You giving them that much time to come up with a game plan? Yeah, the Buckeyes should roll.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Vegas says they'll roll. Ohio State's coming off, like you say, a tough loss like they did last year. Same type of layoff. I mean, no one would want this layoff, but I agree with you. If you give them that amount of time coming off a loss, they should be better. So if you were in this game, who would concern you more, Malachi Toney or Mark Fletcher?
I'll be totally honest with you. Malachi Toney would concern me because there's as a DB, there's one thing that scares all DBs. That's them short, shifty dudes. Those dudes right there cause the most problem. It's like, oh, snap, I got to lock in when you get those short, shifty wide receivers. So you got to come up with a game plan for him. Obviously, he didn't really have a huge game against Texas A&M. His best play came off of a punt return. So there's that. So there, he's shown that he can be stopped. And I just think that given the fact that he's a freshman, like they're young, like that's something to take advantage of there. Not one player has just came in and gave the Buckeyes a ton of problems. So I'm not necessarily concerned about one guy. I think they do a great job of taking a lot of their best players out of the game.
One thing I've been really thinking about outside of the offensive line and how they're going to hold up is how Julian is going to handle pressure too, right? And the job that he's got to do to, you know, step up in the pocket and do all the things and get out of the pocket, maybe make some noise there. Have you seen enough from him throughout the year to believe that he's ready to handle that when maybe the offensive line can't consistently block up front?
Yeah, I think that, you know what, the best thing happened was him going against Indiana. You know, you're giving him all this time to really look at that film, dissect what happened, and come up with an exit plan, come up with a game plan of when I see this again, how will I escape? How would I make this play happen? Because when you watch the tape, you'll see stuff like, oh, yeah, he could have did this, that, and the third. You know, I talked to Cardale, and Cardale was like, oh, yeah, he could have did this, that, and the third to help himself out in that situation. So, like, you're giving that guy that much time to watch it, go over with him. He should have a better understanding of when he faces pressure, what to do, who to go to, who's the hot guy, who to check the ball to, like that type of thing. And I think that if Reuben Bain does become that problem, there's many things you could do on an offense to slow him down. You could put a tight end to that side. You could do what the Buffalo Bills did to Myles Garrett and just roll everything away. Like, you could do those things as well. So I don't think that as good as a player as Reuben Bain is, I think they'll come up with a plan to slow him down. You know, if he's really getting up the field, you can run right underneath him, or you could throw some screens right now, screens to, you know, throw him off and have him guessing.
Tyvis Powell with us breaking down the Buckeyes and the Hurricanes. Read into what you feel will be the difference. If points are at a premium in this game, and it is a defensive game, and that's what most of the experts are predicting, how does that affect the way Ryan Day is going to call this game? Because he's got the narrative of last year when he finally chucked the conservative play calling and let his guys throw it around. And once they lit the fuse against Tennessee, it was on. They were just dripping with confidence the rest of the way. Do you sense that in this type of game, he's going to play it conservative and try to bait Carson Beck into some mistakes and just play off that? Or do you feel like he might come out and change the way they played the Indiana game?
If I was Ryan Day, I'd come out and throw a bomb to Jeremiah Smith on the first play. You know, the thing is, one, he's going up against Miami, and you know how he feels about Miami. He loved them, wanted to go there. If they were a better team, he said he would have went there. Now, when you go up against teams like that, and you hear all the trash talking about how you fake, you left, and you a sellout and all those things, you know what I'd do? I'd make sure I feature that guy. And Ryan Day does a great job of doing that. Think about Carnell Tate when they went up to Wrigley Fields last year. They had a heck of a game in Chicago. So I'm expecting to see Ryan Day unleash Jeremiah Smith. Oh, by the way, anytime somebody drop a paid in full clip of a Money Mitch, you better feed that guy because he on some real murder stuff right now, A. So you better make sure that you feed that beast.
Listen, he had a big game stat-wise against Indiana. They just didn't let it loose when it came to...
Bigger.
Yes, that's what
bigger.
I'm saying.
I don't want 114 yards. Where I want 200. That's what I want.
I think he had 144 against IU, but it was the red zone.
Imagine if he would have had 200. Well, we probably would have won the game.
Okay. He was off the field in red zone stuff sometimes. Like it was. That's the conservative stuff I'm talking about. When they get in the red zone, and then all of a sudden they pack it in.
I think he's heard enough about how not smart that decision is to have Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith off the field in those situations, because you're allowing more people to focus in on one or the other. Like, I think if anything, you keep everybody on the field and then run what you want to run. You know, it's not like these guys can't block receivers or anything like that, or they're not willing to go down there and block. Like, they will do that. So I think if you keep that defense spread out with those two guys on the field, and you can run the ball as much as you really want if that offensive line is doing a great job of getting to that second level.
Before we let you go, got to ask you about what Myles Garrett said after the game about the Pittsburgh Steelers and them being more concerned about him not getting the sack record versus them winning the game and actually winning the division. Did you agree with him?
That's definitely what it looked like. Now, to be fair, because it does look like that, but it's not like they had a ton of weapons on the outside. Like, going into this game, their best playmakers was Pat Freiermuth, Jaylen Warren, and Darnell Washington. Darnell Washington got knocked out of the game, so now you're down to Freiermuth and Jaylen Warren. And once they stopped the run really well, now you got Freiermuth. So it's not like Aaron Rodgers had a bunch of weapons to get the ball to. So, like, I think that also played a part into why the game plan was the way it was, because they didn't have DK or Calvin Austin or anything like that.
I agree, man. But I think he was obviously very dejected. He didn't get it at home in that amount of games against the rival. I understand that. But I don't think Pittsburgh sacrificed the game just so he didn't get the sack. Like, I don't think that.
Clearly not, because when they had to have it, Aaron Rodgers marched them right down. They just tried the wrong corner.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right.
The Warden one have
it. And they weren't on the same page. He and MVS, somehow it was off. I don't know how, but they did not have a proper communication. But we got a winner-take-all game for Maddie's Ravens, though, coming up this weekend. So we'll see.
Maddie, if you had to choose between Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, who would you move off of?
Oh, Harbaugh's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, he's gone.
Even though Lamar is lazy and don't care about football and only wants to play video games.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, man? Look, Harbaugh's been there for 18 years. I respect him, but
I'm just reading. I'm
got
just
you for 18 years.
We can't. You can't move on from a franchise quarterback right now at his age. Now I got to ride with eight until the wheels fall off.
What about four first-round picks like Joe Burrow did?
Now we might be on to something. Now you may be on to something now if it's four of them.
All right, my friend. Be well. Enjoy the games. And, you know, we'll see you soon.
See y'all later. Go Bucks. Go Browns. Go Cavs. Shout out to them Cavs. Go Guardians. Free Classe till it's backwards.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our man was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. We come back with Tim May's headline. For the big ball game tomorrow, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Four.
Love football. Love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another furnace breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, he's fortifying his position down in Big D. He's our friend Tim May. The Tim May Show on FanStreamSports.com and, of course, here at The Fan. My man, it's good to have you aboard, getting close. Let me start with this. What are you envisioning that this offensive game plan will be with the new hierarchy or new collaboration, as it were, with Ryan Day and Brian Hartline? How do you expect this to unfold tomorrow night?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you've got checkers on a board and you just changed where the checkers are is more what it is. And, you know, Ryan has pointed out many times, and we've talked about this on the tailgate show and everything else. You know, this is a collaborative effort when it comes to calling, not just calling the plays, but deciding what plays are going to be on the list that you can call. And Ryan's been, you know, part and parcel to that all year. He's always had veto power. But, you know, everybody... finally, when in fact you're the guy making the call, you know, you do have a little bit of a different feel for things maybe than another person. That's natural. So I would expect them to get after it, but they've got to figure out whether they can protect right off the board. If they can protect against this Miami highly vaunted, highly rated defensive front, then I think they can do some things definitely in the pass game, which could, for want of another term, be remarkable in a game of this magnitude. Because, you know, obviously, Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate being 100%, you know, they weren't the last, what, five games at least together. They weren't 100%. You know, three Carnell Tate missed. That's huge. And, of course, Jeremiah missed one and gutted it out in the Michigan and Indiana game. So, the thing is, it's more of like what weapons have you got available to you now that maybe you didn't have before also. So all of that factors into it. But I expect Ryan's got an edge to him right now. I just exited a press conference that's still going on with him and Mario Cristobal here actually at AT&T Stadium. And, you know, basically I asked him right off the top if they felt like they'd gotten back to the knitting, so to speak, the fine things that he thought may have been lacking in that Indiana game. And I hope people keep in mind, they lost that game by 3 points, not 30, you know, and they were right there twice, but couldn't finish it off two times inside the 10-yard line and couldn't get a point. I mean, that's kind of freaky when you think about it. But he knew they had to address some things, red zone things, in this off time. But, of course, AR, we're not privy to go in and watch every practice and see what they're doing. We're not privy to go in and watch any of the practice, actually. Even yesterday was kind of a cluster when it came to that 15-minute window. But yeah, we're only going to know the answer to what you just asked about 10:30 tomorrow night.
Yeah, but your impression you're getting now is that Hartline will not be in the booth. He'll be with Day on the sideline.
Hartline will be down. No. Ryan just told us Hartline's going to be downstairs on the field with him. Keenan Bailey's going to move up to the booth to afford, you know, eyes in the sky, so to speak. And that'll be the biggest difference, is the guy finally making the play call is going to be on the field instead of upstairs like he's been all year.
So we got a year one quarterback on one side and Julian Sain and a Heisman finalist on one side, and then you have on the other side a very experienced quarterback in Carson Beck. Hit us with your feel on him right now as a quarterback and how you think this Buckeye defense can get after him.
I think Carson Beck is, I don't want to call him the X factor, it's more like the Y factor, meaning why has he sometimes been so up and down this year, even when they've won some games? You know, they beat Texas A&M kind of in spite of him, you know, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, he's the guy who's the real mystery here. He left Georgia for, I don't know if greener pastures, a pasture where the farmers wanted you. You know, is more the way of putting it.
The money may have been greener, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The money looked like it was green. So in the cars, you know, gasoline and putting into his exotic car is green, or, you know, maybe blue tinted. But the bottom line is, he wanted a fresh start, and we all know he's been up and down, man. I mean, they beat Notre Dame. I thought he had a pretty good game against Notre Dame right in the opener, but against Louisville got to him, and Louisville handled them, especially in the key moments. So which Carson Beck's gonna kind of show up? The great thing, I think you can say about Julian Sain, who, by the way, was just named the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award, National Freshman of the Year Award, today. The great thing you said about Julian is he's been pretty level, pretty cool, pretty calm throughout. He's, you know, and I know in the Indiana game, there were a couple of plays they'd like back and stuff, but much of that wasn't of his doing. So, yeah, the battle of these quarterbacks, if Carson Beck suddenly steps up and plays like the Carson Beck we thought he was going to be 3 or 4 years ago, you know, after he replaced Stetson Bennett, a two straight national championship winner, you know, it didn't quite turn out for him the way you thought it would at Georgia. And really this year has been hot and cold. So he's the Y factor in this one for sure.
All right, Tim May, there's a lot of pressure on this one because, hey, you never know. This may be the last headline we get from Tim May this year. So when Buckeye Nation wakes up on Thursday morning, and they finish off their Texas-style breakfast tacos, and they say, wait a minute, I have not read what Tim May had to say about the Hurricanes and the Buckeyes. What will your headline read?
I forgot I was doing a headline. I'm out of sync. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
And the hush falls over the crowd.
Buckeyes put Hurricanes through the comma. Turn sights toward revenge game and Georgia.
Okay, you went out just a little bit there. Can you repeat that for us?
Something about cotton candy. We couldn't hear it.
That's because I was trying to be real quiet. Yeah. Buckeyes, how about this? Buckeyes run Hurricanes through the cotton gin, comma, turn sights for revenge toward Georgia.
Okay. Not bad.
You think Georgia's gonna win?
Yes.
Georgia, Ole Miss. They only beat Ole Miss by 7 at Georgia.
I know, man.
This year. Yeah, you're whispering.
I kind of like Ole Miss in that one right now.
Really?
I think these four guys. Before you go, I think these four quarterfinals are choice. Yeah. They are choice games, and probably the biggest mystery for everybody is Oregon, Texas Tech, in terms of. Is Oregon really what we think it is? And is Texas Tech what we think it is? Because Texas Tech, I'm telling you, is talented, man. Talented.
I think Oregon's running them out of that building, Tim May. That's the one game that I don't think will be close for me.
Okay.
High scoring.
I'm telling you, Texas Tech has got players, baby.
They do.
And,
they do.
Alabama, before you go, Alabama, Indiana, if Alabama plays, Alabama found itself in the middle of the second quarter at Oklahoma and was a different team. They keep that up. I know you got to go.
Yep.
Always enjoy it. See you tomorrow.
See you,
thanks,
brother.
See
you got it. Look at that clock integrity from our veteran guy there. But he's right. The Bama thing, the Bama-Indiana thing is exactly what he was going towards, which is that team has caught fire now.
Yeah.
They have NFL talent. They're an underdog by a touchdown, and everyone's on IU, and now they're on house money because DeBoer is okay now. Like, they're in a different confidence meter. I'm not saying they should beat Indiana. I'm just saying anytime Indiana went up against NFL talent, equal NFL talent, Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, those games were all tight.
Yeah, I just, real quick on the Oregon-Texas test, I don't see it for Texas Tech. They haven't moved me all year. The conference they played in, I don't really respect. So I think Oregon's going to win that pretty comfortably.
All right, we're going to come back top of the hour, do a deep dive, and do we have a new man or a man that should be up there for Coach of the Year? Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Hey, it's Bermie.
Living in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
It's that time. What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
This 2003 Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. Ohio State versus Miami in the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night at 7:30 down in Dallas. The Buckeyes already picked up a win over the Hurricanes as Julian Sayin beat out Miami wide receiver Malachi Toney for the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award. The award is given to the nation's most outstanding freshman. Get the latest on the game tonight here on The Fan with the Cotton Bowl Preview Show. Skip Mossick, Paul Keels, and Jim Lachey have it for you from 6 to 8. Northwestern is hiring former Buckeyes offensive coordinator Chip Kelly to the same position. The Indianapolis Colts are benching Phillip Rivers in favor of rookie Riley Leonard. And Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic will miss the next 4 weeks with a hyperextended left knee. This one brought to you by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book yours today.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care.
All right, final hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. Austin Ward will join us from Dallas at 2:30, so we'll keep the train rolling there. And we'll get into, I have no idea what's going on with this Stephon Diggs story. This popped up. This is a great team. He's been playing really well. He's been revitalized there. And, you know, they're still playing for a potential number one seed. And now one of their big weapons has been charged with strangulation, suffocation, and assault and battery. This stems from something in earlier this month. Yeah, so for the
December
people,
December 2nd,
right? Yeah, December 2nd. So it doesn't seem like this has anything to do, and I'm just speculating with Cardi B, who
she was in the booth kicking it with Robert Kraft on Sunday,
Grammy-winning musician who's now, they've just had a child together, by the way, her and Stephon Diggs, in November, and I really don't know what's happening, because before today, she was clapping back at the fans that were being mean over her or his hate. It was basically, don't hate on me and Stephon. Like, it was something about her relationship and navigating parenthood and I really know. But anyway, that's what she was commenting on. It had nothing to do with what was going on early this month. So
obviously not where the Patriots want to be, because as you mentioned, they're a team right now that's looking pretty dangerous, and Drake May is having an unbelievable season right now. May have locked up the MVP after Stafford's dicey performance last night. But real quick, going back to Diggs, a tough day for the Diggs bloodline right now, because we found out kind of, I think it was 10, 15 minutes after we let go of Shefty, that the Cowboys released his brother, Trayvon Diggs. And so that dude, for them, he just got a contract from Dallas, I believe, 2 years ago at a pretty good money for a cornerback. And now he's just an available free agent on the market for anybody to pick up because he cleared waivers. And so the Diggs brothers right now currently going through it. One of them legal stuff, one of them football stuff, and he's looking for a new home, that being Trayvon. So an odd day for them, for sure.
You mentioned something there I didn't even think about yet, which is, did Stafford blow the MVP last night? Because that was a horrendous game for him. Like a guy that's
been awesome all year.
And he was the overwhelming betting favorite. He was overwhelming.
So yesterday when I asked you, he was currently the favorite over at Bet365. Right now at Bet365, it's a wrap. Drake May's minus 400.
Yeah, three picks.
To win the MVP.
And listen, I'm not saying that he had, he didn't do anything besides throw the interceptions. He did have 270 yards and two touchdowns, but the three picks, to lose at Atlanta, and I think that he was more of the lifetime achievement. Not that he didn't deserve it this year, but it had a little more of a nostalgic tinge to it, like a lifetime achievement almost for Stafford. And here comes Drake May, but yeah, and I know it's a body of work. You probably shouldn't judge it on one game, but if it was that close...
Yeah, I mean, and it's also AR combined with the game that Drake May was coming off, right?
Yeah,
so
that's
what
right.
You mentioned with Stafford. I mean, May was 19 of 21, five touchdowns on Sunday. And I know it was the Jets, but still, I mean, 19 of 21 in the NFL, it's hard to do that in 7-on-7-on-7 and practice and all that stuff. So, yeah, here the Patriots are again. Whoop-dee-doo. They're another franchise quarterback that looks elite, and Drake May is going to win an MVP in year two in the NFL out of North Carolina.
Let me give you the blind taste test.
Okay.
And you probably already know this anyway, but if we didn't see any of the games, We did this based on stats, and a lot of it is statistical stuff when you're coming down to MVP. So this quarterback has a 65% completion percentage, threw for almost 4,500 yards, 42 touchdowns, 8 picks. It's a pretty strong line. Yeah, this quarterback has a 72% completion percentage. 72 in the NFL. 4,200 yards. So only like a little less than 300 behind. 30 touchdowns and 8 picks.
Okay. Okay. I think the latter is May.
The latter is May.
The other part I want to ask you too.
Rushing yards?
Yes. Okay. And touchdowns with Drake May.
All right. So Drake May has 409 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns that we can add to that. And
Stafford? Can I guess? Do you have that in front of you?
I have it in front of me.
Stafford's rushing yards this year. I'm going to say, did he get to a 150 on the year?
Did he get to 50?
Okay, I may be a little high.
He has no touchdowns. Nope. So no sneaks. No.
I'm going to say Matt Stafford AR got to 85 rushing yards this year.
What do you say?
I'm going to say 47.
Let me ask you this. Would it help if I gave you how many carries he had?
Okay. Yeah, I'm into this. Okay. Okay.
He had 28 carries.
He didn't get the 85 then. I don't think he got the 80.
I'll bump it up to 63.
I'm going to come down a hair and go 75.
You're at 63. He's at 75.
Yep.
Okay. You're closer, but you're very far away.
Where's my theme music?
Oh, so are we on the high end or the low end?
You're on the high end. You want me to tell you how many rushing yards he had or didn't have?
Where's my theme music? Where's Waterfalls?
I want to know how many he had.
All right, here we go. Matthew Stafford.
My original guess was 47.
28 carries. Had negative 2 rushing yards.
Come on, man.
You guys both lose because he didn't have any.
He didn't have any.
In fact, he had negative 2.
Unbelievable. And so, yeah, I think based off of stats
his
alone.
His high game was 6.
Okay, okay.
In an overtime game.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Man. So based off of the numbers that we just laid out between both parties, and I think on Drake May's side of things, he's got a little bit more of the doing more with less energy going on. Like, right, you got an old Diggs as your key playmaker. Travion's production has been it's been good, but it hasn't been, like, dominant all the way through from start to finish. So I think if I was an MVP voter, I would lean towards May because of that narrative he's got going on his side, too. Because Stafford, while he's been elite, it's an elite offensive play caller. It's Puka, Devontae, Kyra, and the whole thing over there as well.
So the other thing he has going for him is that he's not as expected, and Stafford is. The veteran guys won a Super Bowl.
Established product.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I think that for a voter, when you look at it is, and this is maybe bad. I'm not saying this is the right way to do it, but I think one of the tiebreakers might be that this kid's been a 2-time Pro Bowler, and he's raising this level of the Patriots unexpectedly to a point where we expect this with Stafford.
Let me ask you this, though, AR.
And with Puka.
If Stafford has a good game, though, he's probably the winner, right? That's the other part, right?
According to Las Vegas, you're absolutely right.
It shouldn't come down to one game of convenience.
That's where I'm getting at. It shouldn't either. I didn't think the Heisman should come down to one game. Just because Sain is playing Mendoza in the game, who has the better game? No, they had such a good season, both of them, that I understand why people were using that as a tiebreaker, but it is supposed to be a body of work. It really is. It's not supposed to come down to one game. Now, that was a big game.
It was.
That Mendoza and Sain were playing because it was a championship game of the conference. So I understood. But they're not both going up against the same defense. They're both not in the same.
Correct.
You know.
And to stat, what really hurt Stafford was it was really bad last night. Like, if it was just an average game, I don't think the odds would have swung this far towards May's direction. I could be wrong, but I don't think so because he was the favorite. Yeah. Going into the game last night, but yeah, minus 400 right now. Stafford is at plus 300, so we'll see if anything changes after this week. I doubt that because I don't even know if May's going to. Well, they're playing for the one seeds. He'll probably play, but yeah, this kid's going to do it, man. Unbelievable.
Rothman, to your point, though, I don't think anybody loved a particular Heisman candidate, so I think it was a bunch of default situations that carried it all the way there.
Yeah. It was one of those things that I understood why it was so close going in, and so now they're playing in the same game together, and so if one guy looks dramatically better. I'll tell you what the narrative that... Maybe that narrative didn't bother me as much as that that person's team had to win for that guy to win the Heisman. Like, it was like...
Oh, yeah, like your loser only, didn't have a chance.
Yeah, like if the loser had a great game, he still can't win because his team lost.
There's only so much he can
like
control.
That was, like, and I heard people talking about that. Well, whoever wins this game will win the Heisman. No,
can't be that
like,
way.
It's an individual award. Yeah. It should be.
I agree.
Very prestigious award, Maddie.
Yeah, just like the NBA Cup.
That leg lamp. All right, when we come back, we... That probably went over 80% of the heads. Anyway, we have another new favorite to win the Super Bowl. This is the sixth different favorite in what appears to be a very wide open year. We'll tell you next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan, all new.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to PCF.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to PCF.org today.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Chances of snow showers on and off today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies and cold with temperatures in the 20s, but with the gusty winds, feels like down into the teens. Some chances of snow overnight, lows down into the 20s, and then for New Year's Eve, we will see a chance of snow later in the day, which could impact your evening plans. Breezy winds and highs near freezing. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Little Bet365 time.
Let's get into it. TLC's face right now. I don't know what happened, but he looked shook over there for a second. But we're here to talk to you about Bet365 because it's the place to be. If you need to bet for new customers, get on over there because they got a great deal waiting for you right now where all you got to do, folks, is bet $5. After that, you're getting $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $150 and turn it into something bigger and better when you bet on money lines, player props, totals, and spreads. AR looked up during one of the breaks and I said, I didn't know that Tiger Woods and LeBron James share the same birthday.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
So two of the best to ever do it in their respective sports were on the same day, December 30th. That's pretty cool. I'm looking at the Kang tonight. I'm looking at LeBron James. They're taking on the Detroit Pistons, who have been a really good story this year. Give me the Kang. Plus 122 is the juice on him to score 25 points tonight. He's going to be locked and loaded. He's hit that number a few times over his last five games. So, yeah, give me old Bron tonight. Plus 122 to get to at least 25 points.
Let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for a little value in this coach of the year. And, I think Vrabel is probably going to get it. I'm not saying he absolutely deserves it over Shanahan. Think about what happened. Debo gets moved. Ayuk is MIA.
What is that?
Kittle's been missing half the year.
You see the Ayuk stuff where he's not even showing up to the facility anymore.
Well, he drove by in Miami, right?
Yeah.
In the speeding video by the stadium.
That relationship's done, so he'll be elsewhere.
Purdy was missing half the year. Warner's ankle is gone. And Bosa's in a booth with an ACL explosion. So... And Michael Williams had an ACL tear.
The rookie, yeah.
And Shanahan is got a team that's hosting the Seahawks on Saturday night, and he's 12-4. If he can pull this off, and his defense is obviously bad and he's still winning games, he's plus 135 to win Coach of the Year. The other one, if you really want value, and I don't know if this is possible because you'd almost need New England to lose, right? Like, you'd need something to happen to them.
But that kind of goes back to what we were saying. If they do lose the game, does that rip away Vrabel's body of work, you know?
Yeah.
Is that fair to him?
It's not really fair on its own, but when you have guys that are very close, it can matter. I don't see them losing to the Dolphins. They're 10.5-point favorites. But so maybe the bet to make is just go all in on Vrabel at even money.
Okay.
Because if not, you know what you have to do? You have to take Liam Cohn at 14-1.
Flushing our money down the toilet. Great year. Been awesome.
Great year.
For 12-4 for
honestly,
them. Yeah, but he's not going to win.
I worry that if Shanahan beats the Seahawks.
Where's the game at AR?
In San Fran.
Oh, in San Fran. Okay.
That Shanahan could not steal it. He'd be deserving of it. But it might be enough for the voters to say, are you kidding me? They got the one seed.
Yeah,
would they get the one seed? Or would the Bears get it? No, they would get it. San Francisco would get it, right? San Francisco would be
13-4.
They'd steal it from the Seahawks, and no one. Yeah, he would get a one seed with everything I just said.
To your point, this thing isn't over yet. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not. There's just not enough value there. So, you know,
bet on both.
Well,
bet on them both.
Yeah, but you're not winning any money. You're betting on both. There's just not enough spread in the, like, you're not really winning anything.
But I'm saying you can't make just two separate ones, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm losing the first, winning the second. They're almost the same odds. I'm not winning any money. You know what I mean?
Not really, but okay. Yeah. I guess I'm like, if I bet on one and one of them wins, I'm a winner on one side, right? Like,
yeah, but what about the money we lost on the other bet?
Well, how much did you spend on it?
Oh, no. If the principle is different, betting more
I think I would bet more on the Shanahan side, right? Because he's got a little bit more juice on it.
No, I would bet less on that because you're getting better odds.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. I agree with that. But yeah, anyway, just say Shanahan.
Is there anybody else?
I don't think so. I think you've identified the right two guys.
What about Ben Johnson? He needed to win that game. He won the North, though. Won the North.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Kings of the North. Hey, download the app, folks, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
All right, what's on the docket here?
Real quick, let me ask you this. Oh, Sean Payton, right? This guy's just... Because we saw them last year do some good things. You had Bo Nix last year. Is that why he's not getting some Coach of the Year run here? Because it's kind of like, hey, he's probably listening to our conversation saying, well, what about me and my team? I got a team that's 13-3 right now with a year two quarterback, the same thing Vrabes is doing over there, and we might be the one seed. And I can't win Coach of the Year? Took out Mahomes and the Chiefs and that whole division?
Well, it's a good story.
Nobody
the problem those. Is, I think they were looked at before the season as a top 10 team. I do, talent-wise.
Because they were a playoff team last year, right?
So, yeah, they were becoming very dangerous. They nearly knocked off the Chiefs at Arrowhead last season. They blew them out in that Week 18 game, but that was when Reed rested everybody.
See, that's interesting to me, because they leveled up AR from 10-7 to 13-3, and Sean Payton is getting no run for Coach of the Year.
I just think the teams, when you think about, well, let me take a look at what I was with New England.
I think what you're getting out of those comes down to kind of preseason perception of think you're going to be.
It.
And when you exceed it or massively exceed it.
In New England, Maddie was not even in my mind in the same neighborhood as Denver. Maybe that was wrong of me to be that way. But and I liked May, and I know you liked him a lot. Jabril Peppers was gone.
I didn't see this coming from
now.
I thought they could be a scrappy wild cardish team. I didn't see
that's kind of why
with the MVP coming. But Vrabes, man, I mean, the body of work he put together in Tennessee, doing some really good things over there. And then immediately this dude brings his culture over there. Obviously, the elephant in the room is he has a quarterback that's really, really good. So that'll get anything started fairly quickly. But Braves don't mess around. A lot of the guys that were signed by Belichick and under his watch, they got those guys out of there. And so he was like, I'm bringing my guys in, and he's already off and running. And this whole Drake May, Josh Allen back and forth in that division is going to be a lot of fun to watch for years to come.
The one thing about San Fran that maybe I'll come back to is that they were allotted, because of how bad they were, a very favorable schedule. That's the one thing that probably, but all the injuries kind of balanced that out for me. Because I think the counter to my call on Shanny would be, my goodness, this guy played almost a last place schedule. Like, it wasn't that tough. Mm-hmm. But when you list all the things that went wrong for them, then I would say that he could easily deserve the award. I mean, Purdy missed 8 games this year. 8.
Yeah. I don't know where we're headed with the NFC playoffs this year. That is going to be a wild
ride. Well, especially, Maddie, if the Rams have to go to Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Which may happen.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not a game. That's a first rounder. That's a bad first round matchup for both.
When the dust settles, we may be talking about the team that had drama all year, unhappy wide receiver, being back to where they're used to being, and the Eagles being able to just go on this run because they know what it takes to do it. I haven't seen or felt a Super Bowl ceiling from the Eagles, but I don't know really who I'm going to believe in much more than them.
It's whether or not you err on the side of defense or not. Because if you're on the side of defense, they've got it. The Eagles. Like, they have enough.
And I like their ability to control games with the run game, too.
And they
it's not as dominant as it was last year, but, like, Bears, Seahawks, Niners, maybe the Panthers or Bucks, Rams, Devontae. Like, where's he? Like, when it comes to the NFC, the Eagles might be the squad.
And they might flip the switch now and say, Jalen, we protected you a lot this season, and now you go.
It's time to go.
Like, you run. Now everybody flips the switch. But the weird part it would be is if the Rams have to go to Philly. That's a 6-3. That's too bad, because both those teams are very capable of winning it all. Then we could get the Packers replaying the Bears. We could.
Without Micah, their ceiling is just it's lower for me now.
It is. Yeah. And obviously, TLC is hoping to get through, and you'd probably host
Houston.
Well, both you got not Buffalo. You guys wouldn't be the four.
Houston's got a head-to-head tiebreaker over both of them. So Houston's going to be locked in at the 5, it's looking like.
Houston's scarier to me than Denver and New England.
What about Buffalo?
They're scarier. They're the scariest team in the AFC right now for me, Houston.
Oh. That defense is real until they took their foot off the gas against Herbert a little bit.
I'm in on them right now.
I'm in. All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes and check down in Dallas with our guy Austin Ward. How healthy are the Buckeyes? How well did this layoff treat them? That's next. Rothman.
Think or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to PCF.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to PCF.org today.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let's do a little day tripping.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Plumbing.
Call us today at 1-800-FURNACE for all your plumbing and drain service needs.
Yes, 1-800-FURNACE works for plumbing, too.
All right, we'll effort our man Austin Ward here in moments from Dallas. Buckeyes a 9.5-point favorite on Bet365. They've gone up a little bit on the money line as well. So they are now minus 360. So they're about, what is that, about 80% probably. So right up in that.
You know, last year, AR, when we saw them for the first time coming out of the Michigan loss, the second time, in that Oregon game,
mm-hmm.
there just felt like there was just a new energy, a new spark, a new level of aggressiveness, especially for on the offensive side of the ball from Coach Day. And right out of the gate in that game, you could just see the creativity with how they used Jeremiah and lining him up in different spots and getting him the ball in different spots. That's what I can't wait to see now, especially now that Coach Day is taking over the play calling again, where he's going to be at with how he wants to get things in order out of the gate.
So the big part of that for me is going to be how much confidence he has in his offensive line. Because I felt like against Indiana, they were a little bit on tilt. Like he kind of turtled up again and went conservative. Now, I'm not saying he didn't deserve to get that sneak. Julian Sain looked like he got 4 yards on that sneak, and his knee just hit early, and then it changed. But what changed for me is when he decided to kick that field goal to play for the tie with 3 minutes to go. You got to stop Indiana anyway, and I've mentioned this 20 times, and I'll mention it 21st, is that if there's less than a minute left and you don't think Indiana has enough time to retake the lead, you kick that field goal all day. 3 minutes left, you still got to get a stop. And I would have gone for it there because I know I need a stop anyway. I got to get, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
And so he didn't, and it surprised me. And then the kicking thing went south, and now who knows where his confidence is in that. Now, maybe all it'll take is fielding to make one kick, and then we'll be back. Kickers are, you know what I say, kickers are like putters. When they don't work, you get a new one. This man knows all about that. He's Austin Ward from Dallas. And I do that a lot, A-Dub. When,
yeah, you do.
If the putters break, you get a new one. Let me ask you this. How healthy is Ohio State? How much a coach would never want a layoff like this based on momentum? And now he plays a team that has momentum, I guess, psychologically, because Miami's played a game. But how much do you think this layoff is done for Ohio State health-wise?
Yeah, I think quite a lot, Anthony. You look at, you mentioned getting into a routine and staying in it and playing games, but you know this team, even though you had two off weeks built in, they played 13 games, and the last two especially, one of your rivalry on the road and the other against their unbeaten team that is now number one in the college football playoff. Those were physical encounters, and some of the stuff, not just with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, which we talked about, you know, throughout the month of November with those guys both being banged up. You look across the board, Lorenzo Styles dealing with, you know, a shoulder that might not ever be fully healed until the offseason and a chance to maybe get that, you know, looked at and worked on. Philip Daniels at right tackle, he told me a couple weeks ago that there were games in the middle of the year where he felt like he was basically playing on one leg. We can look at Will Kaczmarek and some of the wear and tear at tight end. That goes, it almost touches every single position for Ohio State where, you go through the year, there's going to be bumps and bruises, but I think that's why for this team in particular, given people want to look at the strength of schedule, it was the games that they played on the road, the teams that they played at the end of the year that really built up some of those calluses and injuries and everything else that they needed to get taken care of, and I think that that's now the situation that they're in. We'll see tomorrow night after they get done with this walkthrough right now at AT&T Stadium.
Austin, what's been said over the last couple days down there about the offensive line, but I guess in my mind, more importantly, maybe the extra help the offensive line may or may not needs when it comes to defending this pass rush against Miami. Extra bodies, are we going to be seeing that tomorrow? Do you think they've got full trust in their guys up front to hold it down without that?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways that you can go about that, Matty. If you think back to, you know, week one against Texas, and I mentioned Will Kaczmarek, they put him in a one-on-one situation to hold up on the edge against Colin Simmons that we wouldn't have anticipated, but that was sort of, you know, by design that they had trust in the tight ends that they could win some of those matchups and assist. You know, that was on the right side of the line and the first start for Philip Daniels at right tackle. They got that done. They executed a play. They scored on it. And, you know, is that the primary solution that you want to get to if you're Ohio State tomorrow night against Miami? I'd say probably not, but it is one that you have in the arsenal. The other is some of the RPO game, decision-making from Julian Sain, get the football out of his hands quickly to Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, Max Clair on down the line. I think that's probably more likely what you'll see. It's a strategy, interestingly enough, that most opponents use to try and negate Ohio State's pass rush. And we've heard that over the years. Well, why are the sack totals not there? Well, you know, the opponents are making quick decisions. They're slowing down the pass rush by making them defend the width of the field. Ohio State can do that too, and they can also do that maybe more dangerously than anybody else in the country. So I think that will probably be the best solution, probably the solution that we see the most, Maddie, because Miami's secondary is they're fine. They're not really considered to be one of the better ones in the country. They're top half of statistically in pass defense, but they've also been dealing with an injury there. It's one of their starters. So even if you were fully healthy, there's not a secondary in the country that's going to match up with J.J. and Carnell on the perimeter. So I think that's going to be the best way that Ohio State can attack that Miami defense up front. If they get in a situation where they're just letting those four rush the passer straight downhill, you know, that would not be ideal for the Buckeyes, really, or any offensive line in the country for that matter. That's where Miami is best.
Austin Ward with us talking Buckeyes. He's down in Dallas giving us some great analysis. Let me ask you this. What's your read on how this will work offensively? Is Ryan Day actually calling the plays, or is he waiting for Hartline to suggest something and then he will come over the top with what he wants? Or how does this in-game collaboration going to work?
Yeah, Anthony, they've made one further adjustment to that setup and the protocol and the process for playmaking. So Brian Hartline tomorrow night will be back on the sideline working directly with the wide receivers. He's been in the box all year, as we know, helping to call those plays and being on the headset. Keenan Bailey will be taking his spot upstairs in the press box and in that coaching box. So he will be the eyes and ears and communicator upstairs. I think the way that it had been described, and I could be wrong about this, but the way my understanding was that Ryan Day would be in communication with Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler. Billy Fessler would be talking directly to Julian Sayin through the headset. So a little bit of a chain of command, at least that's the way that if the play call is going primarily through the headset, that's going to be the way that works. Again, I could be wrong. There's a lot about the way that they do this that Ryan Day doesn't like to reveal every single detail, which I understand. But in terms of, you know, Brian Hartline's involvement and influence, I think he's pretty much going to be removed from that equation. So I think Ryan Day's been working pretty diligently and a lot more influentially than he has been throughout the rest of the season, really the last two seasons, outside of the playoff run a year ago, in terms of building that game plan. So I think that, you know, he and Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler largely see this the same going into tomorrow night. And the final call is going to be made by Ryan Day.
So there's some numbers out there that tell you that, hey, you come after Carson Beck, he's not the same guy if you kind of sit back and allow him to scan the land and pick you apart. When you look at Patricia and some of the options that we've seen him have all year, how aggressive do you think he will be getting after a veteran quarterback?
I think significantly. And a lot of it, Matty, that we've seen with Matt Patricia can be simulated pressure, disguised coverages, bluffed blitzes, replacing a defensive end with Arvell Reese. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it without necessarily bringing five or six guys to get to Carson Beck. The bottom line is what you said. If you get to him, he makes mistakes. He's not as accurate. And that's true for every quarterback. But the variance between Carson Beck in a clean pocket versus when he does have pressure in his face is as wide as any quarterback you're going to find in the country. So it is imperative that that happens for the Silver Bullets tomorrow night. The best way that they want to do that, what Matt Patricia chooses out of the encyclopedia, I don't know for sure. I know that we've seen a little bit of a dip in terms of productivity, at least in the stat sheet for Arvell Reese. I don't know that that's something that can Ohio State can afford to have happen against Miami. He's got to be involved. But he can also do that without necessarily getting to Carson Beck himself. We saw Sonny Styles really capitalize on the extra attention that Arvell Reese was getting in the second half of the season. But you want, if you're Matt Patricia, if you're Larry Johnson, if you're James Laurinaitis, if you're Tim Walton, if you're Matt Guerrero, if you're Ryan Day, you want Arvell Reese to touch Carson Beck in this game. You need to make him feel that he's there. And once that happens once, which we saw way back in week one, the second time I've referenced the Texas game, and it feels like it was 10 years ago for me, but it's for whatever reason, it's on the top of my mind right now. Maybe it's because they just put Texas on the ribbon board in here yesterday instead of Miami. But I'm getting sidetracked in all this. But it's to say that in a game like this, your best players are going to have to make those biggest plays. And Arvell can bring pressure. Kenyatta Jackson will need to bring pressure. Caden Curry. And even Caleb Downs. I think about you know, that first time that Arch Manning got hit, he was never the same after that in that game. And if you do that to Carson Beck, I think we can all know what that outcome is going to be.
Yeah, good stuff, my man. Be well, enjoy it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too. That is Austin Ward with us from down in Dallas on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, guys and ladies, both talking about the new year. We're talking about it coming up, resolutions and all that stuff. Well, if you've been suffering from symptoms of low T, or you're not even sure that's it, you're tired, you don't have the focus you should have, you're feeling off, then you have to see my friends at Synergenx and Low T Center, because you will meet with a real provider, not a chat bot on a website. You get real medication, you get real results. And right now, for a limited time, the men's TRT test is free, and the ladies can take $200 off the women's hormone test. So that test is normally $299. It's now $99 for women. And, of course, the men's TRT test is still free. You're going to get a weight loss consultation for you ladies as well. That's free. You can walk in. You can book an appointment online at GetMyHealthFix.com. That's the easiest way to do it. Go on GetMyHealthFix.com. Make an appointment. Go in there. Take the test and get the numbers. And then you will have the power to determine whether you need the help. If you do and you choose and you want to be treated in the clinic, you can have that. If you want to receive at-home treatment, that's fine as well. But either way, it starts with the simple and quick free TRT test at the center. They have an on-site lab. They don't send it out, so it means you get results in about 20 minutes. So you're not going to be waiting for days like other places. They've got a new mobile app. It's even easier to meet with the provider through telehealth appointments. This is the place to go. Synergenx and Low T Center. Book it now at GetMyHealthFix.com. All right, I promised you guys part of Tell the Truth will be the sixth different favorite to win the Super Bowl. So start thinking about that. We'll have it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we.
Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Bring more.
When the Cotton Bowl is over, flip on 10 TV for the ultimate postgame show. Tom and Adam are live from Dallas with Timmy and Nicole in the studio. Ring in 2026 with a Buckeye victory live on 10 TV and streaming on 10 TV Plus. It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, before we get to Truth, and we'll do our score predictions because we all have to remind ourselves that it's game night tomorrow.
It's so weird.
All right, so we have another favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And so this is the sixth different favorite. And so do you guys want me to tell you who the others? No, I don't want to.
No, we want to guess.
Who are those? You want me to tell you who the favorite is now?
No.
No, I'd like to guess. Because we've got, what, 13-3 teams at the moment, right? Denver, New England, and Seattle. Do I have that right? I just want to make sure. Yeah, 13-3 teams right now. So of those three, TLC, one of those has to be the favorite, I would think. You agree with me on that? Denver, Seattle, or the Patriots?
Yeah, I guess so. The only thing that would throw me off is I would have assumed that the Patriots already would have been favorites at some point this year. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I think if we submitted the Patriots as an answer and then waited for him to tell us if that was one of the previous five or the current one, I say we submit the Patriots. Okay. Do you agree at some point in time this season they could have been one of them?
No, actually.
Really?
Yeah, no.
With all the Drake May hype, too, behind it?
For the MVP, yes, but them as a team to be the Super Bowl favorite?
You think it's Denver?
Yeah.
Remember, when I came off watching the Super Bowl Shuffle doc, and I was like, this is the big anniversary of the 85 Bears, 86 Super Bowl, Pats, Bears.
It's in play.
No doubt it is. I don't think it's one of the AFC teams that is the current favorite, though.
Well, let's just go through the ones that we agree with. Do we agree that at some point, because we got six total, one now, five previous.
Yeah.
Do we agree that the Chiefs probably started this year as Super Bowl favorites?
Yes.
Okay, we're submitting the Chiefs as an answer.
As that they were one of the other
they
five
were one of
at
the
one
other
point
five.
In time. Yeah, that's correct.
Philadelphia? Okay.
I was going to say them, too, as well. Philadelphia, final answer.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, the Rams.
Uh-huh.
At some point, the Rams had to have been the favorites.
I agree with that.
Okay, Rams.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so we got three to go, including the current favorite.
It's kind of a basic play, but they haven't been as good this year. But Buffalo? To be the number one favorite in the entire league? I don't think so, man.
As a favorite to win the Super Bowl at some point this year.
Yeah. We're not including Buffalo. Were they one of these squads?
Okay, we're not including them, so we're good.
So that's a no, right?
No, they were.
That
was basically a doing. That was the first one you got wrong.
Okay, so
the
now
Bills
we need,
at one point were a favorite to win the Super Bowl this year.
So now we're down. We need two more.
I don't know when.
Yeah, that's a when would they have been that?
Probably the beginning of the year when they started 4-0.
That's probably it. That's probably it.
Like, because that was the only time I could see them. Maybe after they beat Cleveland, were they just recently? Would they have been a favorite because they had ripped off 4 in a row? Remember, they had beat New England at New England.
That may be so.
So it was one of those times.
My team was preseason, offseason. People liked them, but they didn't start the year well. So I don't think...
Baltimore?
Yeah, I don't think the Ravens have ever been a Super Bowl favorite,
this
according
year.
To Vegas, right? No.
That's the fifth?
They were.
Oh, my God.
So the others were the Eagles, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Rams.
Okay.
And now we need the current favorite.
So you say Broncos.
No, I think it's Seattle. Okay. I don't think it's one of the AFC teams.
I think it's New England, even though they're not the number one seed.
All right, he's going New England. I'm going Seattle.
It's Seattle.
Okay.
Dang, man.
All right.
Terrible.
We did all right.
What the hell was that?
We did all right. We did all right, man.
At least you took it like a man.
When were we the favorites, AR? When did that happen?
Maybe when I picked you before the season. I don't think I picked you to win it. I picked you to play Philly.
So that first Sunday night football game, you guys blew it, right?
Why would you ever have been a favorite this year?
Let me look at the schedule.
It makes no sense.
I think the Ravens were still highly regarded even after they blew that Sunday night football game week one against the Bills where Derrick Henry had like three fumbles.
So that's it. So the only time they were the favorite was before the season started?
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking.
Let me throw this at you guys. There was a five-game win streak.
No way.
From October 26th to the November
23rd. What was your record?
No, I'm just trying to figure it out.
That's the Rams.
I think it was before the season. I really do.
It had to be. Yeah.
At some point before the season, they were a betting favorite.
I think that's it. Seattle? Do you guys agree with Vegas, though, real quick, on Seattle? They should be the Super Bowl favorite right now?
I would ride Philly or the Rams right now.
Yeah, I like Philly's value, too, more. Where's Philly at? Let me pull up Bet365 real quick. Hold on. Let me get on over there.
Philly's somewhere around 9 or,
by the
eight
way,
or 9 to 1.
As presently constructed, my take about Colts, Seahawks, everyone will still watch it. Definitely aging well now that Phillip Rivers is at the Colts quarterback spot.
Well, Riley's back.
Well,
that's your boy. Yeah. Mr. Boy, you were right, AR. Philly right now, +900 at Bet365 if you're into that.
By the way, Indianapolis Colts, favorite team by Fairhope, Alabama. In Fairhope, Alabama, there are two schools. There's the public school and the Catholic school. The public school is where Riley Leonard went. The Catholic school is where Phillip Rivers coaches.
Really?
Fairhope, Alabama.
I like that. That's a cool nugget. That's cool.
All right. Apparently, it was a slow day today. The fan poll, how many majors will Tiger Woods win on the Champions Tour over his career?
This is worth a segment at some point.
A segment?
Just on his, now whether he'll even want to do it. Sorry.
You
are the producer. But we're not allowed.
Oh, man.
I was talking about the Champions Tour. Tiger Woods in the first tee box.
Sounded like it was like we were going to have some sort of seminar and we were going to invite people in. A segment.
We got less than a minute. Yeah. I hope he doesn't go on that tour. I just hope he doesn't even do it.
The one thing I'll say about Tiger is I don't think as much as he would need one or want one in his mind, I don't think he'd ever allow himself to take a cart in a major event. I just think he respects what that game is in history and what walking means to that game and how it affects stamina and all that. I'm not saying he wouldn't enjoy
one. Not only
one,
is he going to get on a cart, he's putting spinners on his cart. Right. That's what he's doing. Hey, before we go, you missed anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you got to do, type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the pod as well. Bet365 is the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Common Man and Timmy from noon to 2 tomorrow. Yep. I'll take over with Dane DeVere. And Dane and DeVere at 2 to 4, and then AR's 4 to 6. There you go.
Sounds great. We'll join you on New Year's Eve. We'll talk to you then. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. I'm back.